listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Zoom, Dad, zoom!
Dash yet. This look like $2,000 to me. This look like $5,000.
Kimmy, let me see.
The deal is for $5,000. That's about $2,000 there. You count
what?
Yourself.
You know what? This pisses me off. I told my people it's supposed to be $5,000 here, and look at this shit. They stiffed us.
No, they stiffed you, because I want my money, man.
Son of a bitch, you know, you can't count anybody today, but look, I'll tell you what, let's not fucking hassle about it now. Take the $2,000, and on the next score, I promise I'll make it up to you.
Hey, look, man, don't jerk me off, all right, man? Jerk somebody else off. This is bullshit. I need $5,000, not $2,000 thing, man. Don't do this to me.
Look, don't be unreasonable. You're not dealing with Johnny Bananas. Come on.
Yeah. No, I know I ain't dealing with Johnny Bananas, but can I have my money? No, look, can I say it slow for you? Look, I need $5,000. Read my lips. $5,000 is what I need. This is bullshit here. I can't do nothing with that.
You know, if you want to be a fucking asshole, you can take the whole load and smoke them yourself in the park.
I can't make a price.
This. Nice doing business with you, kid.
Hey, buddy, what you doing here?
Oh, officer, you know what just happened a few minutes ago? You ain't gonna believe this shit. Check this out. The truck, it just stopped, man. It just stopped. You got some jumper cables? You give me a jump.
I love you. 1 hour took my baby for a ride in space. We met a little man with a funny, funny face. He taught us both to wail this way. Now nobody digs the word we say. And that means I love you.
On duty, but what about tomorrow? That's the question we put to people in the crime-plagued Lexington area.
They're public servants. They got job security. They're not supposed to strike.
It's a free society. Except there ain't nothing free, because there's no guarantees, you know? You're on your own. It's a lot of jungle.
Let me order. Honey,
yeah, I'd like to place an order.
What'd you like?
Yeah, I'd like 3 orders of garlic chicken.
And then?
And then 3 orders of white rice.
And then?
And then... Oh, hey, you guys want soup?
Sure.
Yeah, 3 orders of wonton soup.
And then?
Oh, some fortune cookies, too.
And then?
Gosh, I think that's about it.
And then?
No, that's it.
And then?
No, and then. That's all I want.
And then?
then nothing else because I'm done ordering, okay?
And then?
No. See, all I want is the 3 orders of the garlic chicken and the 3 orders of the white rice.
And then?
And the soup, dude. Oh, and the wonton soup.
And then?
And the cookies fortune. Hey. And the fortune cookies, yeah. So it's just the chicken, the rice, the soup, and the fortune cookies, and that's it.
And then...
And then you can put it in a brown paper bag and come put it in my hand because I'm ready to eat.
And then...
I refuse to play your Chinese food mind games.
And then...
No! No, and then!
And then?
No, and then!
And then!
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 No, no, and then!
And then?
Maybe you're gonna start to piss me off, lady.
And then?
And then? I'm gonna come in there, and I'm gonna put my foot in your ass if you say and then again!
And then.
was a dynamite. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Yes, thank you. Thank you. No more applause, please. It's Friday. That means it's time for Nowhere in Mulberry. Hey! Yeah. It's episode 154 of the show. We talk film, television, and pop culture. I can't wait to get into it. But first, may I introduce to you my co-hosts. First, Steven the Pop Culture Zealot to my left. How you doing, Steven?
Glad to be back.
Yeah, it was a bummer you weren't here last week, but today you're in town and you're here to do the show. It's so exciting to have you, Steven.
Being stuck in Chicago sucked, you know.
In Chicago.
Just at the airport, you know. Not like I was in town doing anything.
You didn't get to eat, go to Wrigley Field or eat any dogs or
nothing
anything.
Nothing exciting.
Bummer.
Did you see Balky and Cousin Larry?
No. I heard about them. They were running all around town having crazy antics.
Having crazy adventures. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good.
You're fantastic, sir. You're fantastic, Bill, I said.
Oh, I'm fantastic.
No, seriously, Steven and Bill, I'm glad you're here. It's time to do the show and all that stuff, but Bill, you know all about this, and I was just telling Steven about my computer woes all week, for Christ's sake. First of all, I finally upgraded the RAM to the computer. I had like 1 gigabyte of RAM this whole time. The whole time doing the show, only had 1 gig of RAM. And I don't think it ever really... It got us... I don't know how much got us into trouble, sound pops or whatever, but... you know, I noticed it was lagging when we're on Now Live sometimes, so it was like, it's time to upgrade the RAM, right, Bill?
Yes.
It's time to do it. So I did, and now I'm getting graphical problems where I think the video card is going out is what we determined. Like I'll get
weren't
these...
you getting them even before you upgraded the RAM?
Yeah, what would happen is I'd turn on the computer. You know how you turn it on and you let a computer warm up or you don't? I don't know if you do. You turn it on and just start going to town right away?
Just start going, yeah.
Yeah, just start going to town.
Now, I would do that, and all of a sudden, I get these vertical lines on the screen. This happened probably started about a month ago, I'd say. And so I was like, what the hell is going on? So I'd reboot, and they'd be gone, and then I would start again, and then the lines would appear. So what I'd do is like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let it warm up. I'm going to step aside like 15 minutes, come back. The lines would never appear. Everything was fine. So I started doing that. Well, ever since I put the new RAM in, now I just get the lines all the time. What the hell is it? Like right now,
beast.
Like right now, there's no lines, but I was showing Steven how these little dots start to show up, or little lines, they're little tiny. It'll just, and all of a sudden they'll go blink, and they'll all be there.
Yeah, I was telling him how on my job when we do upgrades, as soon as you open up a computer and you clean out the dust, it inevitably causes trouble.
Yeah.
You don't ever disturb the things that are already running.
You think
it's funny. I put in a new DVD drive. My main drive went bad, and I always have 2 drives to copy stuff.
Except there ain't nothing free, because there's no guarantees, you know. You're on your own.
So I put in a new drive, and the moment I started up my computer, I had this, like, I don't know, one of the fans started like tickling. They're just like,
no.
I put my head down to it. I can hear it, but I don't know where it's coming from. It's driving me crazy. So yeah, anytime you open up a computer, that's like, you better get ready because something's going to go wrong.
Yeah, like I'm wondering, did I unseat the card or something? Maybe
no, not if it was already happening.
I think your computer is probably built into the motherboard and.
What do you mean?
No, his video card is separate.
Is it separate?
Yeah, it's separate.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just thinking...
It's an AGP card. That dates it.
Right. I mean, it was really dusty inside. I cleaned out all the dust and everything, but maybe it
he
just...
He used a vacuum, and I told him he should go get some canned air. What do you think, Bill?
I like canned heat better.
Oh, to the country where I'm gonna go.
Sorry.
It's a free society.
That was way too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Canned air, I told Jason this.
I'm not...
You almost have to stand there with the vacuum on when you're using canned air.
Uh-huh.
Because that shit is like a snowstorm. And it's so... I have a dust allergy, So the moment it like gets into the air, my whole body starts itching.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, make sure you take that thing outside or in the garage and blow it out. Don't do it in the house.
It's just, especially whenever it's older.
I got to tell you guys that I've anal retentive, OCD. When I took it apart, I was very careful. I know I didn't like bump into anything with my elbow. I was very careful. So I don't know.
Yeah, because it might explode.
A new graphic card. It's an upgrade in the RAM on it, too. So hopefully it'll be better. And another thing about that, remember last week I had all this shit about the 1-800-Flowers? I paid $20 for overnight shipping. It's been 2 friggin' days and the damn thing hasn't come yet. What the hell?
It's with Newegg, whenever you buy something from them for the first time, you know,
The third purchase.
Okay. You know what? Newegg is like that sometimes. If you don't get the order in before noon of a certain day, or if it's, it all depends on where it's coming from.
Right.
They have a couple different distribution centers, one in New Jersey, one in California. Because everything I get from my computer, I get from Newegg. I always have, always will.
Right. It's got great prices on stuff, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes it's free shipping, obviously not for you.
Well, no, but it was free shipping. 3 to 7 days. Free shipping 3 to 7 days. I was like, oh, I want this sucker tomorrow. $20 charge. Might as well do it. It's still not here. I did it for the 24 hours, but it's still not here. I paid $20 for air. For air. I'm not getting anything out of it. Christ. You know? That should be guaranteed with the pay for that.
It should drain them.
They need to tell you, like, where it's...
You're on your own.
Sorry, that guy cracks me up.
It should tell you where it's coming from, because, like he was saying, after 5 o'clock on East Coast, you're not going to get it overnight.
Well, I noticed, here's what it says. You can pay extra for 24-hour shipping. You look in fine print, it says, may take 1 to 2 days to process your order.
Unless you put a check next to rush processing and pay another $3.
Get this, though, on Newegg, when you're checking out, it says, rush order, extra $3.99.
It up to $3.99 now?
Well,
wow.
It depends on what you order. But isn't that the equivalent of going up to, like, the guy on the warehouse dock and go, hey, dude, can you get this order through, and hand him, like, $5 or something?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
It's just, you know, what's funny is I have a Newegg preferred card. I have one of their credit cards. So anytime I order anything with it, they give me that for free.
Oh, like, bastards.
That's because you're getting the interest on you.
Yeah, really.
Well, I should have had you order it for me, then I would just slipped you.
I know, I should have. That's what I was going to say. If I would have ordered it and sent it to you, you would have probably got it faster.
Damn it.
This is bullshit here.
All right, Bill, before we get into the major crux of the show, should we talk about the Oscars are happening this weekend? Or talk about that entertainment. What do you say? I got to tell you, this is the first time in a long time. I don't think I've seen jack shit that's in the Oscars. I've seen The Dark Knight. I haven't seen anything. My God. Have you seen anything, Steve?
You will.
Name the major nominations again in the Best Picture, because I haven't seen any of those. Slumdog Millionaire.
I see all the actress costumes. Best Picture. The Curious Case of Forrest Gump. I mean Benjamin Button.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
No, I haven't seen that.
Frost Nixon.
Nope.
Milk.
Nope.
The Reader.
No.
And Slumdog Millionaire.
It's a free society.
Now, Bill, you were talking about earlier, you were kind of telling me about there may have leaked the winners, but it could be a hoax.
I have a feeling it's a hoax, because it's even on, like, a Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences letterhead.
There's no way. I've always heard that those two guys are carrying them, the Price Waterhouse guys. They got them in suit attaches.
And they're handcuffed to their wrists.
Yeah, they're handcuffed. There's no way that those could be leaked. It's all a scam. It's got to be. It's like the Phantom Menace script being leaked, you know, by that Super Shadow guy.
Super Shadow. Because he's very good friends with George Lucas.
Ever told you about that, Steven? There's this website with this freak who pretends he's best buds with George Lucas, and he will leak the scripts early, and after the movie comes out, you read his leaked scripts. They're nothing like the finished movie. But the best part of it is, like, people go, hey, Super Shadow, I thought of this idea, like a fight with Palpatine. I think they should make like a force tornado and it could scoop up Anakin or something like that. And he'll reply, that's a pretty good idea. I'll forward this to Mr. Lucas.
Yeah, our next get together to have hot dogs at Pink's.
We'll yeah.
Talk about it.
It's like, hey, I had this kid email me, and George is like, oh, it's a great idea. But that sounds like what this is, you know, just someone just goofing off.
Yeah, it just says this is the final list of winners for the 81st Annual Academy Awards. As always, please treat this information with extreme care. With regards, Sid Gannis.
Yeah, fake. No, but seriously, though, you know, we're not doing an Oscar show this year. And one of the reasons I haven't seen any movies, but another one is, you know, after we would do the shows, Bill, I thought it was fun doing them live, but it's exhausting. And honestly, yeah. You don't hear enough about it after it's done to know if, was it even worth it? Did anyone listen or care? You know what I mean?
I know. That one we did
'cause I'm,
on Talk Radio X was, oh, that was terrible.
I mean, it was fun at the time, but it's kind of like this. When the Oscars are over, it's like your interest just completely goes out the window. You don't care anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why would you go and, hey, I'm going to listen to this Oscar show a week later?
What's funny is I really don't care about the Oscars this year anyway. It's nothing I really liked was nominated.
I might care if I've seen some of the movies, but I don't know.
I'll be flying anyway, so.
Yeah, it's a bummer. But I wanted to say this, that we have a voicemail from the Mystery Man. What do you say we play it and check it out? It'll be awesome.
Yes.
Why not?
Hello, denizens of Mulberry. A recent caller asked whether it would be easy to jump into 24, since he had never seen it before and had no prior knowledge of the show. I have a similar question. I have never seen this show called Lost that you have spoken about repeatedly over the years, and not even one episode. And I'm thinking that I might like to start trying to, or watching it on a regular basis, but I'm concerned that I might have missed something. It seems kind of a straightforward, entertaining show, not very complex or anything. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that. Is it possible to pick it up this late in the game? Discuss.
Yeah, just dive right in. Why not?
Yeah, go for it.
I'd say this season more than any other, you'd be totally lost.
It would live up to the title.
Who are these people and what are they trying to do? Yeah, Lost is the kind of show that you should watch from season one. But I got to say this. This is the kind of show where every episode ends and you're like, oh, damn it. But right now you have, what, 4 seasons you could watch in, like, the span of 2 weeks or something? That'd be the best time. That'd be the best way to watch it, honestly.
Oh, yeah. If I had never seen Lost and I had every season on DVD, that would be like heaven.
Well, right. They're repeating them on Sci-Fi Channel, too.
Right. It's in syndication now.
Yeah.
That's the way I watched Alias, like, season 1 through 3, Bill. Do you remember that? Mm. You got me Alias season 1 for Christmas or something. Me and Heather, we watched that, and we were like, well, shit, we got to watch season 2 now. Because if you didn't watch Alias, you got to know it was by J.J. Abrams. It was a lot like Lost. It was that serialized where they had the storyline, the cliffhangers every week, and it's like, shit. And, you know, every season finale would end on a cliffhanger, and we'd go, I was like, I'm going to go run out and buy season 2 now. And
yeah,
come back.
It's so funny. When I first got you that first season, you're like, oh, I've never really watched this show. I don't think we'd be interested in it. And then yeah. I hear that you and Heather are up till 4 in the morning watching the first season of Alias.
Like, you know, we'd have to work the next day, and it would be like 2 a.m., and we'd go, okay, one more episode, then we're going to bed. Get like 2 hours sleep and then come home and go, okay, let's start Alias again. It was crazy. But Lost, if you've never watched Lost, rent each, you know, you could Netflix them or something like that. Hell, you could probably buy season 1 for less than $20. Just watch them all in a row. That would be so cool to do that. I mean, I've already seen the season, so I can't do that. I'm talking about not having even seen anything. I'm telling you, you'll be addicted.
Skip season 2.
Yeah, I think season 2 pays off by the finale, though. Remember, that is a fantastic finale.
Forever.
Yeah, it did. That's when they do the 16 episode seasons. It's really cool. We'll talk about Lost later, but the answer, Mystery Man, is no, start with season one, and I know you're being facetious, okay?
Yeah.
And I hope you finished your vacuuming, okay? So let's talk about...
Boiler room.
What do you say we talk about entertainment? Let's do it. Okay, what friggin' movie came out today? I know last week was Friday the 13th, and it was like
Push.
Number one movie. That was 2 weeks ago.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Last week,
I can't
42
even
million.
Need to ask me. I mean, this is the biggest movie of the year.
I know the Watchmen didn't come out this weekend.
No.
What is it? What,
this movie's even better than Watchmen.
Oh, wow. What is it?
Madea Goes to Jail.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my foot in your ass.
Oh, I saw Madea on The View earlier, and it was nauseating.
What's so funny is this guy, this Tyler Perry, made so much money on these stage versions of these movies. And Madea. Now it's like, now that I have all the money in the world, I have Oprah money, I can go and make these movies on my own.
Yeah, what?
It just, ugh.
He cranks them out. How many does he do a year, would you say?
At least two or three.
I don't know. There's a bunch of them up there that I never saw at the theater, so I'm sure they went straight to video.
And he also does multiple TV shows, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's got like one on TBS or something.
He's got his own like Skywalker Madea Ranch type thing where he's just cranking this entertainment out.
It's absolutely incredible. I mean, a guy made so much money dressing up like a woman.
And they're as entertaining as Jar Jar Binks was.
Yeah.
I think the best thing about this one is it's got Rudy Huxtable as a whore in it.
Nice. Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Oh, wow. You knew that.
Oh, dude. Total Recall there. Anything in the 80s on that was primetime television, I got it up here, man.
Yeah, I know your favorite thing about the Cosby Show was whenever they would lip sync songs.
Yeah, that was my favorite when they would have the grandparents over and they would all like, baby! And that Theo, he'd never do his homework. And you know who was the biggest whip on Cosby Show? Was the older sister and her husband, Elvin. Didn't you hate
yes.
any storyline with them fighting?
He was the black-white man.
Yeah, Elvin. But is that the only movie coming out this weekend?
There is another movie coming out this weekend that I'm actually interested in called Fired Up. And
oh,
the only
yeah.
reason
not
I'm
another
interested
cheerleader
in it,
movie or whatever.
Yeah.
But, it looks kind of like your typical teen BS comedy.
Right.
But this movie is actually from the guy that did the series The Loop. And also Andy Richter Controls the Universe.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, he's actually a, you know.
It looks like there's a lot of TNA in it, too.
I think it's PG-13 TNA, though.
Oh. Well,
which
okay.
sucks, but oh well.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? There's no guarantees, Bill.
And I've heard
except
it's actually pretty
free,
funny.
Because there's no guarantees, you know. You're on your own.
Jungle out there.
Oh, the jungle.
I love that guy.
What the hell is that guy talking about? So we'll talk more about Watchmen next week, I'd say. But are you guys excited?
Ready.
Every
I'm trying to calm my excitement.
Right. I am too.
You know, it's just such a big deal
harnessing
for somebody
my chi.
Who loved it for so long. And
I'm trying to let Watchmen come to me, Bill, but
yes.
I am really excited. There's one trailer where Rorschach is talking during it, and I was just like, oh, I can't wait to see this damn movie.
You know, what pissed me off, though, is today I'm reading on First Showing that in July, if everything goes well with the release, March 6th, they're going to release the director's cut to theaters. That's the original 3-hour and 10-minute cut. And I'm just like, what? Why would you tell me that?
You know,
ultimate tease.
I'm really curious to see how it does in the theaters. Because we talked about this a lot on the show. Will mainstream be into it? I think the trailers look great. The commercials, it looks visually stylish, cool, and all that. And it might get people in the theaters. But I'm curious to if people will really
like
it.
Like the story.
Yeah, because you know, it's a mystery type story, and if the payoff is worth it and all that. So I'm really curious about that. I don't usually care about box office take it all, but I am very curious about Watchmen. You know?
And are they going to be able to swallow the entire alternate universe and stuff like that, you know, to deal with?
Are you talking about Fringe or?
No, it's in an alternate universe.
Oh, you mean it's not in DC Comics?
It's in the 80s and.
Oh, okay. You mean it's. I don't know. I still don't know what you mean. Are you talking about it's not in DC Comics universe or?
No, I'm talking about that it's not set in the real world.
You mean it's set in the 80s and it's like had Nixon stayed the president and that kind of
thing?
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think so.
And, I mean, the way they advertise it, they don't mention that these are masked adventurers, not superheroes. They say they're superheroes. So people are going to go into this thinking that these people have superpowers when the only one that has any sort of superpower is Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, so. I don't think that'll bother anyone. But I'm really, I just can't wait, you know. It's the kind of thing that we're done talking about on the show. We just want to see the damn film, you know what I mean? Yeah. All right, what do you guys? We've got a lot of TV shows to talk about. What do you say we get right into it? Let's do it.
Do it.
What's on our DVR TiVo type recording device? Let's do it. Okay, first of all, did you guys know that Snoop Dogg has his own show called Snoop Dogg After Dark on the MTV?
I wasn't aware of that one. I knew of the, what was it, the
Fame Fatherhood.
Well, this is like, you know, hang out with Snoop Dogg and his hizzle, you know what I mean? Ugh.
Is it like William Shatner's Raw Nerve?
It kind of, I guess. I mean, the weird thing is it's in a bar full of a shitload of people, and there's a lot of background noise, kind of like Mystery Man's Phone Call. And this week he had Paris Hilton on the show.
Oh.
And he asked Paris to do a rhyme with him. You know, like, she's going to bust out a rhyme. And
this is going to be uncomfortable.
You guys, get ready to be nauseous and have your skin crawl. Let's check it out.
Some real flavorful underground connected.
Real.
Yeah, I'm talking about.
I know what I'm talking about. So dope.
I want to freestyle with you.
All right.
You started
freestyle.
Off.
Yo, what's up? My name's P. Hizzle. I'm chilling in the glizzle with my homeboy, Snoop Dizzle. He's sexy. He's fine. He is the man of our time. I love him. I love being in the club. I'm serving drinks. And I'm a thug!
Yeah. We do it doggy style.
We do it doggy style.
Yeah, that's the only way. You understand me? Here's a toast to success and nothing less. Oh, boy. Da-da-da-da-dee-da-da.
So I'm guessing the show's not scripted.
I think she was all about doggy style in her video.
Good Lord, man. This is entertainment on MTV. I mean, seriously, who's watching this and being like, this is a good show?
Entertainment on MTV is a loose term. You know, you go through there and they'll have like, I think the show I laugh at the most is that Next, where they have a bunch of people on a bus and then they come out and have to impress somebody. It's so.
Yeah, is it like you're going to date somebody, but if you don't like them, you're like, Next, get another
exactly.
bitch in here. Woo! You know.
That's it.
It's become Jerry Springer.
What's up? My name's P. Hilda.
Yeah, it's all just.
It's become the equivalent of.
Can I go ahead and say Idiocracy? That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and Hizzle's got gonorrheaizzle.
And later on, we're going to talk about Dollhouse, that show. But I'd rather, shouldn't it be called Dollhizzle? Wouldn't that be better? Mm-hmm. Now, guys, there's a show called Real Yentas of New York City. You might see it on commercials
awesome.
For it on Bravo.
Is that you
with Top Chef? You know they always show this week on Real. Wives of New York City, only on Bravo. You know, they always do that. I don't understand. I've already talked about that guy a million times. I don't. Why does he talk like this? You know, but on this show.
He's singing up for the mystery man's phone.
This show really is the Real Yentas. Am I right? Just listen to this clip.
It's terrible.
These women, these venomous women who don't like each other, they're all bitchy, they all gossip behind each other's backs. they've been in the sun way too much in their life. They've got Botox. They got badly bleached blonde hair.
They've got nothing to like say for themselves. Like, who are these people, and why are they on my television?
Exactly, and they're cougars. So let's check out this clip.
I hate that term.
Pretty incredible. Jill made some serious digs at Simon and at me that were completely out of left field.
Well, now I feel bad about this.
You come out like a raging piranha, diarrhea of the mouth, full Tourette's, and then like...
You're such a bitch.
I know, but do you know what I'm saying?
I had to call her.
I have food in my teeth. No, but they can't see it through the phone.
Oh, that's true.
This is Alex.
First, I'm going to say that I overreacted in the Cindy Adams column and probably talked too much. What I want to say is that you hit me first. I mean, not you, but Simon did.
How?
Oh, in New York Magazine, by saying that derogatory statement.
Derogatory statement.
She's from Long Island, you can tell. The only reason why Cindy Adams I spoke to is because of the New York Magazine article where I felt that
you were jealous. You were upset that we got the coverage.
I mean, that's right. You're right. You know what? The truth is, I am very jealous.
Oh, no, she didn't.
All over the wall.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Oh, God. Oh. No, why do they have to cover people from New York on any of these shows, though?
Well, they've got the ones from California, Orange County, Real Wives. They got the one from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And now this one. It's like, enough already. Who cares about these?
Because the women are like
those
this.
The people that watch this are housewives and gay men.
But I love whenever they have a guy from New York on one of these shows, he's like, you know who you're talking to over here? I'll kill you. I'll freaking cut you up, man. It's like, oh, you're going to commit murder. Okay. Yeah, because you're from New York. It's okay to stab somebody and kill them. Yeah,
what's
because
I gotta go get my fake tan and blowed out hair.
Yeah, those guys who look like trolls. Is that in Jersey or is that in New York? Those guys who get the...
It's all Guidos.
What do you say about my mama? I kill you! Yeah, so that was basically a clip of some cougars. Now, let's get into the bimbos, Steven. Rock of Love Bus.
Nice.
And I believe every season he does this where he makes them do a flag. No, he does make them do full contact mud bowl football where they're in there pulling each other's tops off and stuff. And let's go ahead and check this out.
I love that class of women.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
This is the greatest game ever.
Even if I'm muddy and disgusting right now, my team needs to win. I need to win MVP.
Hut one, hut two. Go. Oh.
I'm going to do whatever it takes to win this MVP, even if it means that I have to get my hair all muddy so I look brunette.
Oh. Ashley's mission is not to play mud bowl, but just to get everybody butt ass naked, literally.
Brett Michaels is a deep guy, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Mindy, that's hot.
Even if I have to stare Mindy's in the face, I'm not letting her get this touchdown.
Damn.
If I Ashley's tackle her, my all the girls wide open seems to be working vagina. Out nicely
for both me and the fireman.
Personal foul. Removing the other team's pants. Fallen angels.
I'm sorry, guys. Sorry.
I can't believe that's on television.
I know. Jesus. I need to switch these apart.
And okay. And we're all struggling because Friday Night Lights might not be back next year.
Friday Night Lights used to go on VH1.
It'll be the Rock of Love Winnebago next year.
Now, hey, did you guys get to see Eastbound and Down with the Danny McBride, the ex-baseball player who was caught with roids on HBO?
No.
Well, that's time appropriate.
This show is just ridiculous, but there is parts where I... You know, some jokes it's kind of like
I almost groaned because it's produced by Will Ferrell.
Yeah, but Danny McBride is really funny though, Steven. It's got some funny shit in it. For instance, basically he doesn't have any money, his career is over, he's pissed off everyone in his life. He's gone back home to live with his brother who has all these kids, and he's such a selfish prick asshole. That's the one thing like about the show that might drive you nuts, because he's such an asshole. He's got this insane curly mullet, But there's this one part here where he treats his brother's family like shit and all of his kids. And he notices one of his brother's kids is on his jet ski. The only thing he has besides his car, he has a trailer with a jet ski on it. And he's got nothing else in his life. And he freaks out when he sees him going on it. And so this is what happens.
You cannot talk to my son that way!
Get out of here. Got doo-doo and chocolate over his hands, ruining my damn handlebars.
We were just sitting on the jet ski.
And that's why you're swearing at him?
I will continue to swear, Dustin. This jet ski ain't a damn toy.
Yes, it is.
Do you know what would happen if you would have dry accelerated this jet ski on land? He would have ruined it.
If you're really strapped for cash, sell the jet ski.
I don't tell you what to do with your money. Don't tell me what to do with mine, okay? And Cassie, do not stare at me with those dead eyes, you bitch.
Kenny.
Instantly, I regret saying that. That was a horrible thing to say. It's just, I'm Kenny Powers, and I'm very upset with how I'm acting right now. I just have a very hard time expressing my emotions, and I can't stop from yelling. So I'm very sorry. I don't mean to offend you, Wayne. You have me off, but I'm just very upset right now. So I'm going to go ahead and go. But I'm not going to stop yelling, because then that'll mean I lost the fight. So please leave a key under the mat. I love y'all very much. Peace out.
And HBO, of course, they don't apparently know about my patented F-bomb technology. Don't you hate when they just take the word out and it's just a blank spot? They don't even bleep it. They need my patented F-bomb technology there.
They even know that the F-word is actually being said.
I know. But it's a funny show. And Will Ferrell, yeah, he produces it. And I think he's going to be in an episode next week. But he's not in the show, though, Stephen. He's not a star of the show or anything. And Dan,
the movie they did, Foot Fist Way, is very similar with its type of comedy.
There are some lines in this that are so funny. Just everything he says is so wrong. And he gets a job as the PE coach. It's really funny. It's some funny stuff. And that was just one episode. And you know what? One thing I read about it is like the ratings were really bad in that first episode. So, but check it out, Steve. I'm serious. Okay? Give it a chance. It's funny. The worst part, oh man, it's so gross. There's a part where he's all hungover and he's in gym class. You know, they have showers in high schools, but no one uses the showers. He's in there and the kids are walking by like, ugh. He's all like, oh, like taking a shower. And he's all tanned, except he has a thong tan line in his big nasty ass. It's just like, oh.
Dry heave just hearing about it.
Oh, it's so nasty, man. Oh, but my favorite part, though, is he's always messing with one of his kids, this chubby kid who is sitting on the thing. He's always giving him a hard time. And there's... at one point, Danny McBride's character does all this coke and liquor, and he comes home. He's like, oh, like stumbling everywhere. And the kid has a room directly across from Danny McBride's room, and he's just like closing his eyes and he pulls the covers over his head. He's just like so scared of his uncle, and he pulls the covers down just to peek, and he's standing in the doorway just staring at him, just dead eye. The kid's like, oh, the covers back up. It's hilarious. The whole show is worth it. Just for that part. Now, okay, let's talk about Hell's Kitchen, all right? And, you know, there is one thing in this episode that I thought was hilarious, and I was laughing, and it was the dude named Ben who decides to prepare a dessert. What was he doing? He was like, oh, I got my dessert ready. But let's listen to this clip.
They haven't even started service yet.
I was laughing my ass off. I was like, that's me. I'm like, I'm going to get prepared and just go home early. Check this out. I don't understand what the hell was going through his head.
What's going on?
I didn't know what was going on, but he brought up dessert 4 minutes in. I mean, I've done some stupid but that's embarrassing.
So let's do it this way then. Here you go. Ben wants to serve a chocolate brownie before we serve the appetizers.
No, chef.
What are you dreaming of? Are you stupid?
No, chef.
You got cheesecake made as well.
No, chef.
We've trashed 6 desserts before we sent our f***ing appetizer.
It's my fault, chef.
It was my mistake for not exactly knowing Chef Ramsay's terminologies, but f*** me if the words pick and up don't mean give you the desserts.
Have you been drinking or sipping?
No, chef. No,
look
chef.
Look at me. Go upstairs for lie down.
No, no, chef.
Go on, go
okay,
upstairs
chef.
For lie down.
Go lie down.
Useless. Absolutely useless.
Ben has failed to score any brownie points with Chef Ramsay.
Oh,
come on.
Boo! I just had to throw that in there. It's just
that's like the rim shot.
The damn announcer guy. And that
this episode was so painful.
The part where they had to name the parts of the cow, I think I could get half of them right just by looking at the names of them. I would hope.
Yeah.
But that part where he was like, what was it, the bottom round? It was like at the front.
Yeah. It's the bottom round, and they put it on the shoulder.
He was like, come on! It was like, bottom round! And what is it they're doing at Steakhouse? And, Jean, what is his name?
Jean-Philippe
had a moment in this that cracked me up when he was talking to that Lacey chick. Let's check this out. I thought this was hilarious.
Meanwhile, Charlie's appetizers are making their way out to the dining room.
Well, I didn't know that this came with anchovies.
They're, overtaking the plate.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And back to the kitchen.
She doesn't really know what she's doing.
She just didn't know there were anchovies on it.
You got what you asked for.
I know, Chef.
So what did you f*** up? I know you find this is... You laugh, it's funny.
I'm not laughing. I'm trying not to cry.
Britney Spears, you jumped up, bitch.
There's a reason I don't wait tables, and this is it. How do you like it? Tell me.
Rare, like this one. Okay, I'll get you a rare piece. You're welcome.
With just 30 minutes left in the first seating, Jean-Philippe is looking for Lacey.
Table 23. The table which you forgot.
I have to go up there and tell him to fire it?
Well, who else gonna do it?
Jean-Philippe, I've never waited tables before.
Can you just go and also set the goal?
I mean,
hey, madam, we're just taking the order in now. Why is it taking so long?
She forgot the table.
Yeah, off with me, I know.
That was great. I loved it.
That girl, the way she acts, everything is so painful.
I know. And I always go back to the first episode. I always go back to the first episode. I know what you're thinking. Another pretty girl wants to be a chef.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what?
It's so funny. They go to the meat house or whatever the hell you want to call it, the butcher, and that Scott, the chef Scott's showing them, okay, this is this cut, this is that cut,
yeah,
this is how you do this, and she's just like, oh, it's so cold in here, I'm not even listening.
Yeah,
he wouldn't be showing you these cuts if you didn't need to figure out later.
That Scott guy seems like a major prick, doesn't he?
You know what, I've seen him on stuff on like food TV. They'll have him on like those contests where people have to do something.
Right, the challenges.
Food challenge, yeah. And he is an asshole.
He just seems like a
major
dick.
He doesn't have patience for idiots.
Right. Well, what was that? The women failed the quick fire competition.
The quick fire. Yeah.
And they had to. What was that part? They had to eat all of that disgusting parts of the cow.
Well, you know what? They boil the tongue and the liver and
but
the tripe.
But that part was, I'm sorry, but if somebody's throwing up next to me, I am not going to continue eating. I don't care what anyone.
That late, so theatrical.
She was just like, oh God. I'd be like, I'm out, because as soon as I get a whiff of that, I'm going to start puking, and I'm not going to eat this pancreas, okay?
Well, you know what? It's like cow's tongue is it's incredibly tender. I mean, it's good. I've had it. And liver, I cook at least once a month for my dad. You know, he likes liver and onions. And all these cuts, somebody eats, and they're not that bad. So for the theatricalness of this lady just puking.
Yeah,
and
they were all just like, oh,
she's
my God.
At one point, I thought she said, if I died, tell my family I love them.
Yeah, and this is just... This is the same chick who's always like, come on, guys, we gotta do this. You know, it's just like, splap. But that's not the only thing that happened. The best part was Giovanni. He works in a steakhouse, right? He's the head chef at a steakhouse. And this guy, Seth, who's a total dipshit. My favorite part here is when he hides the meat. Let's check this out.
More than halfway through the first seating, steaks continue to be returned, and Chef Ramsay would like a word with...
Giovanni!
Yes, Chef?
That was bad.
Now there's more steaks coming back. You're really screwing up.
Yes, Chef.
We need some help on the filet.
Yes,
sir.
Get
on top of it. Lacey forgot the order. One filet, one ribeye.
Chef, we got one filet left.
Telling me now,
We're out of filet.
Yes, chef.
Take the me. Do something.
Yes, chef.
Chef Ramsay said, hey, Seth, bugger off and, you know, cut filet. Usually I buy them already cut.
Real quick, Charlie.
Okay.
Get all that off, okay.
You've never cleaned a tenderloin? Where have you worked? In your parents' house?
You happy, Giovanni, yeah? You happy? Yeah?
Hey, no, Robert, chef.
Happy? Happy?
Not happy at all, chef.
Pathetic. Nothing is going out. What are you actually doing, Seth?
I'm playing the filet mignon, chef.
Bingo.
Hey, all of you, here, quickly. There's the filet, yes? Look at the...
Then he saw him hide it.
That's what he took off. And there's the filet. Look at the filet!
He molested that poor thing. People have gone to jail for worse. Looks like he went with it with a jackhammer.
People gone to jail for
that? Expensive half. Look at it! What are you going to do, get Daddy to buy you a new one?
And then the guy with the studs in his face is the one who got kicked off.
Yeah, I was kind of glad because I didn't want to have to look at those anymore.
You know what I notice also? They're uneven.
Like, yeah, they are.
One is a little higher than the other. It's like, dude, if you're going to do that piercing, can you get them symmetrical at least?
That guy looks mentally uneven. So,
and I knew when he was up against the dipshit Seth, I was like, Gordon Ramsay's going to keep him because he has entertainment value on the show.
Seth really is completely... I honestly look at his face and I think he has a little mental retardation.
And when he was sitting there talking, asking, you know, or telling why. And absolutely, I should do this. And absolutely, that.
Absolutely.
In the end. Oh.
But the part where he's like, Chef, could you please pull the guys, make sure these are their choices for who they want to go home? I thought that was great. But the guy's a dipshit, and I just love the guy when I saw him hiding the meat like nobody could see it. It's like there's cameras watching you, dude. It's so bad.
Cameras. So funny, you know, when I worked at a place with my dad once where we hired this guy from Minnesota just to help us with the billing. And he, after a while, we were like, why are we not getting any invoices? I guess because he didn't know how to do it, he hid it. He hid the bills in a closet in the back of the office.
Oh, my God. Like they're just going to go away?
Yeah, exactly. We ended up, of course, having to fire him. But I couldn't wrap my mind around somebody. They don't know how to do something, so they hide it.
Right. That's like your report card in school. Oh, God, I got to hide this. My parents.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they'll never ask about it or something.
No, in a week whenever they go, you know, your report card hasn't shown up yet. You know, you don't think they're going to call theirs. The school.
But isn't this the point every season in Hell's Kitchen where it seems like there's nobody in this group that looks like you should hire them? Eventually somebody will creep out there, but right now it doesn't look like anybody.
There's not a single person there that I could see being an executive chef anywhere, not even at the Waffle House.
My favorite is the insane cooking teacher lady that he just always just
hassles her.
it's funny.
So fun for him to hassle her because she's just so clueless.
I know.
She just stands there like a deer in the headlights and then they interview her. She's like, I'm not going to let him get me down.
Yeah. He can't get me down. Everything's going to be fine.
I'll just go back to teaching my school. Not going to have
Let's talk about a better cooking show, Top Chef.
Can you just go and also shut the door?
Now, this Top Chef, I thought they did something really crazy here because they're...
That was bullshit. I didn't like this.
They're in Louisiana now. Oh, you didn't like how they let somebody come back into the competition?
No. I thought this was just...
It was pretty shocking, I thought.
It was a waste of time, quite frankly. It was cruel to the person who got to come back because there was no chance in hell they were going to win it.
Right, because they do is they were competing. It was Jeff, Jamie, and Leah, who had all been eliminated. They got to come back and cook for Emerald, and Emerald Lagasse would pick who got to come back. So it's like, you get to compete for the finale. And they're like, oh, great, great. And they cook. Jeff wins it, and then they slip in this. The only way you can get to the finale is if you win this competition. So he's not automatically in, which they made it sound like. Didn't you go, wait a second, you know?
Yeah, in the clip I have a, where Fabio's like, this is crazy.
Yeah, you want to go ahead and check the clip out?
Yeah, I think it explains it pretty well.
For your quick fire challenge, you can relax and enjoy some Southern hospitality. Because you won't be competing. These three chefs will.
So we look over to the door, who's walking out there? It was Leah, Jamie, and Jeff.
These guys got kicked out, all of them. Now they're going to be part of the finale again. Give me a break.
The winner will join the four finalists in the elimination challenge and will have a chance to make it to the finale. For your quick fire challenge, you'll each have an hour to create a dish featuring one of New Orleans' most famous ingredients, crawfish. And then Emeril will determine who has the best dish and win a place back in the competition.
Sea bug, mud bug.
Okay, so Emeril, as our guest judge, please announce the winner.
I have the dish in mind, and I certainly have the chef in mind.
Bam!
And that chef, for me, is Jeff.
Congratulations,
I was happy
Jeff.
For Jeff.
As you know, we have a big decision to make here tonight. We're going to be eliminating two chefs, Fabio.
For an Italian who's doing Creole food, your flavors of the mock shoe was really on.
I thought it was a great idea that you made a mock shoe. I thought it stood out. I love that you put your stamp on it and you added the meat. I wanted to be able to sort of taste everything individually.
Yeah.
Stefan.
Yep.
Never in over 28 years here in Louisiana have I ever seen a gumbo over grits. But your grits were good.
Stefan, I got to ask. When I walked through the kitchen, my impression was that you were very calm, almost to the point of being overconfident.
He kept going for his cigarette.
He's just old. It works out. If not, fine.
Fabio, please pack your knives and go.
It's a bullshit.
Thank you so much. It's been a great year. If you don't win, I'll kick your ass. You have no idea. Thank you so much.
So, congratulations, Stefan. Of course, that means that you've made it into the finale.
I almost think that it's almost like when you see the judging table editing, that it's like, oh man, Stefan's going home. And then it's when it's Fabio, I was just kind of like, did I miss something? What? You know,
I was actually a little angry at that. Yeah, Fabio screwed up. I mean, you're in New Orleans. What are you making a pasta dish for?
Right.
Honest. That's just dumb. You don't do that.
And Carla is the one who won. Like, she made the perfect meal. Everything was great there.
You made an oyster stew and a shrimp beignet.
And I felt bad for Jeff because, Jeff, your food was incredible. It was fantastic. But you didn't come in first, so you can't make it to the finale. Goodbye. Just kind of like, what the hell, man? So he just leaves. And couldn't they have at least told him you came in a close second? But they didn't tell him anything. They were like, sorry, you don't get to go to the finale. He's just like, why'd you guys do this to me? I knew I lost. I didn't know.
But I think he felt redeemed from his last elimination from the Super Bowl challenge.
Right, because that was such
he
a stupid
was
challenge.
Pissy about that. That was.
But another thing is one of his heroes is Emeril, and Emeril gave him this awesome compliment. So that was probably enough for him.
Sure, yeah.
And one thing is I noticed when they had them come back, like Leah and Jamie. First of all, I was like, Leah, she doesn't have a chance in hell. I already knew she didn't. But Jamie, she had like a nice makeover, didn't she? I was like, she's looking pretty hot. I'm kind of into that.
She didn't look as butchy as she normally did.
Yeah. Too bad she doesn't go for guys. I don't have a chance, do I, Steven?
No, sir.
Bummer.
She's a vegetarian.
Suck it up, buttercup.
Yikes. Whoa.
She does that on a regular basis.
Now, I can't wait to see the finale next week. And I hope I'm almost gotten to where I'm just annoyed by Stefan. Because it's not like the last two challenges, he seems like he's not trying. He's like, I got this in the bag. Don't need to try, in a way. You know what I mean?
His arrogance is getting the better of him.
And he looks like he's gained a couple of pounds. Like, but by the last episode in the finale, he's put on some weight. He's just hanging out in a hotel waiting for the finale, I think.
Now, where is the finale? Is that going to be in New Orleans also?
I don't know. Why did they even do that? That's another thing.
If it's called Top Chef New York, keep it at New York.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, have the...
It's like last year, Top Chef Chicago, and then they do the finale in Puerto Rico.
Hell? And they're always giving away cars, and I thought it was funny. Last year, it was in Puerto Rico, and it's just like, how am I get my car home? Yeah. It's like, I live in friggin' Alaska or something.
Hydroplane it across the ocean.
Right, so this time, maybe it's not as far as a drive, but... Let's go. You want to go ahead and take a break real quick, and we'll come right back and talk about Doll Hizzle and Heroes 24, Lost, and Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's take a break, Steven.
Let's do it.
What do you say?
Yes. No way then. No way then.
Wow.
Peace out. Da 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 da.
This summer, coming to a supermarket near you. There's going to be a great new high-C flavor with an outrageous fruit taste. And what are we going to call it? Ecto-Cooler. High-C Ecto-Cooler. Slimer's new fruit drink. You've been warned.
Hey, Mr. Arcade!
Three is trying to save his papa.
We're trying to help, but he's having a hard time.
It's Donkey Kong Jr. Mario's captured Donkey Kong, and Jr. has to rescue him.
I can help, Jr. It's the official tabletop version of Donkey Kong Jr.
Well, there's Mario!
And Donkey Kong!
And Jr.
That's okay, Jr. Come on. Now let's take you home to save papa.
And now Mr. Arcade shrinks prices with a $10 rebate on all Coleco tabletop arcade games.
They're here. Zero's gravity cliffhangers. Cause you race them upside down. Plummeting through the giant loop as you reach for new speeds. And use your skill to master the death-defying spiral. And blast up the walls of zero gravity. And then back into the giant loop. You make your final move now to take the lead and win. Zero gravity cliffhangers. It's all in how you look at it. New from Tyco, of course.
I gotta have pop!
Corn pop, popping, popping in my head like popcorn, popping and popping in my head. Tell us corn pop, popping, it's all I think about. Pop, pop, popping, they keep popping in my head. Corn pop, popping, gotta get a taste. I can't stop popping. Corn pop, popping, popping in my head.
Kellogg's Corn Pops. You can't stop thinking about that sweet popcorn taste. Part of this complete breakfast.
Corn pop, popping, popping in my head.
Did you try breakout with a moving wall? Did you try breakout with an extra ball? It's what fun's all about. It's Super Breakout. It's a brand new game from Atari. Have you played Atari today?
If you liked Breakout, you'll love Super Breakout. It's got more color, more sound, and more action. And naturally, it's from Atari.
Have you played Atari today?
Pokeball is what they call it when you're hopping and bopping everywhere. Pokeball is what they call it when you're rocking and rolling in the air. So get on a pogo and get off the wall. A pogo is a thing to do. Pogo is my favorite way to have a ball. And Pokeball's the thing for you.
Yeah.
Pokeball is what they call it.
Pokeball is what they call it.
Cheese, glorious cheese.
Tastes mighty inviting.
Cheese, glorious cheese.
It's so tantalizing.
Whether you like it saucy, snappy, mild, or wild, real cheese has a taste for you.
Enjoy cheese, marvelous cheese, wonderful cheese.
Max Backtalk. Enter any sound you want. Then match it to your flashing light. Take it to the max.
Again?
Billy!
Sexy!
Nerd!
Sexy!
Nerd!
Billy! Sexy!
Nerd.
Take it to the max.
New Max Backtalk from Milton Bradley. Until now, if you wanted real arcade games, you had to go to the arcades. Now you don't.
Hey, yo, $5.
Sega Genesis has changed all that with games that look, play, and sound like the real arcade games, because they are the real arcade games. From Sega, the masters of arcade entertainment. Now you can play Golden Axe, today's blockbuster arcade hit, at home, with two new levels not even in the arcade game, plus the hottest library of real arcade hits.
That's city.
But only if you own Genesis. From Sega, we bring the arcade experience home.
He's checking the course. Can he make it in 15?
Now it's me against the clock.
Introducing Big Wheel Rally Cycle. Big Wheel with built-in rally timer. Fast racing wheels. Spin-out braking lever. Orange racing pylons. He made it!
I can do it in 10.
Big Wheel Rally Cycle with rally timer and pylons. Assembly required. From Marks.
Coffee, tea, or
Pringles! I've got the fever for the flavor of a Pringles!
The fever for the flavor of a Pringle?
Love that deep fried taste
and Pringles crispy crunch.
It's a great chip now.
We love that crunch.
We've got the fever for the flavor of a Pringles.
Love that deep fried taste.
Love that crispy crunch.
You'll get the fever for the flavor of a Pringles.
Regular light or ripple?
Hey, mate, what do you do when you see a crocodile?
You run, you slide, you hit the funk, take a dive.
It's Crocodile Mile, the great new water slide with splashdown pool. And the incredible boomerang bump that sends you flying. But watch out for the crocs.
You run, you slide, you hit the funk.
Hershey, Hershey, Hershey. Ooh,
gonna have me some fun. Gonna have me some fun.
We all gonna be having fun.
Part of jungle.
I love that guy. I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. But it's
he's talking about when RoboCop took over for all of the other cops, and they were threatening a strike.
Yeah, I know, but what I mean is, like, the movie, in the context of the movie, you know, how he's on there, it's so weird that there's this commercial and there's a stoner dude, yeah. And I love in bold underneath his name, it says, unemployed.
Yeah.
Love it.
Except there ain't nothing free, because there's no guarantees, you know? You're on your own.
I love that guy.
All right, let's talk about Dollhouse.
You know what, though? Let me just bring this up first. The whole reason we saw that again was because I was making the break, and I saw that there was actually a game in the 80s that was sold on TV called Nuke.
Right.
And they, like, it was like a Risk-type game where you played with golf tees that represented ICBM missiles. And I said to you, I was like, wasn't there a game in RoboCop called Nuke or something?
Right.
And it was... Shit. What was it? It wasn't Red Alert. It was,
Was it called Nukem?
Nukem, I think. Yeah. So I was just like, did the guys that, you know, that did RoboCop see this commercial for this game in the 80s and think, man, we should do that?
Yeah, they're like, hey, we could do that for real. And it says, simulates real nuclear war. What could really happen? I'd totally play that game, wouldn't you?
So would I.
Red alert. Red alert. Red alert.
Yeah, that's it. Red alert. And it's a family. It's like, I just bombed your city or something. Okay, Dollhouse, it's a Joss Whedon show, right?
Joss Whedon.
Yeah, we've all determined that it's Joss Whedon, as Eugene would say. And it's got Eliza Dushku, who is a... You know, I like her. She's cute. I don't think she's a very good actress, But she gets past it just because I think she's a cutie. She's kind of a dorky too. I kind of like that about her because she's kind of a spaz, you know. Mm-hmm.
She is, but God, is she a terrible actress?
Yeah, I don't think she's a great. Well, in this episode, basically the premise of the show is you're a blank slate that they upload for whatever mission you go on, right? Like, and apparently rich people might need you for something. They might need, say, hey, I need a sex slave for the weekend. You know, hey, great. Or someone's child is kidnapped and they need a negotiator, so they're going to pay you money. So they upload Eliza Dushku's character with a hostage negotiator, right? That's where she seemed kind of her element. She seems like very young. It just seems silly that she's talking all mature and she's in this business suit. You know, it just seems so silly. But, you know, I'll give it that, though. It's okay. I know what kind of show this is. I'm not, like, getting all uptight or whatever. So, I'll give it that. And I know that Joss Whedon, first of all, it's hard to judge a show on a pilot. Am I right? A pilot, yeah. You've got so many notes from Fox, probably. We need you to show this. We need this. We need this. No, we want this actor in the role. We think that's better. You know, it's just like...
Joss.
Exactly. So in this episode, while I thought it was interesting and I thought it was neat, they set up this character of Hilo from Battlestar Galactica, where he's looking for the dollhouse. And at the very end, they set up this other character who is an escapee from the dollhouse, which kind of reminded me a little bit. And I know this is I'm not meaning this to sound this bad, but remember in Bionic Woman, Starbucks character escaped from the Bionic place.
Bionic Lab.
It kind of reminded me of that a little, and that's not good if you want to be reminded of that.
Of a bad show.
Right. Oh,
that was, man, I can't even believe that one lasted as long as it did.
I know. So this is, there was a cool, like, it threw you for a loop at this one point because she's there, she's helping this guy with the... with his kidnapped daughter. They're at the place, the drop-off, where they drop off the money, and she sees the kidnapper, and her implanted memories are from a real person. That person was kidnapped by that guy and molested as a child. So she starts freaking out, even though it didn't really happen to her. She thinks it did because it was uploaded in her brain or whatever. So she's freaking out. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And first of all, Bill, do you remember the part where she's in the van and they're driving away and she's mumbling like, oh, man, crazy man, white hair. She was doing River from Firefly.
Like, yep.
I was like, what is Joss Whedon with having mumbling chicks who are catatonic? What is the deal? Because I know everybody's like, oh, I love Firefly. Firefly's a great show. I liked it too, but I hated scenes where River was freaking out. It was just like, okay, slap her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she would rock like an autistic child.
Like, and Simon or her brother would be like, River, are you okay? River. Just like, oh, Simon, man, blue hands of blue, 2x2 or whatever. It was like that kind of shit right here. So I don't need any more of that. But here's what's good is I like the guy who's her handler. That character seemed really cool, and I liked his character because everyone else that works at the dollhouse is a dick.
Yeah.
The chick, the English chick who runs the place, her assistant. You okay, Bill?
Yeah, I'm fine. Sorry. My mic switched on and off. Sorry.
There's the elite dude, the hacker dude. I don't know what he is, but he's the guy who programs them. He is so obnoxious and annoying.
He's like an evil version of Marshall from Alias.
Right. He's not funny or anything. He's just annoying. But in this scene, her handler, who I don't remember the guy's name, but he was in The Matrix also, Matrix sequels, he's trying to tell them that they can't just write her off. They need to help this girl who's been kidnapped. Let's check it out. And you'll see what I mean by assholes.
You cannot wipe her right now.
I can do any damn thing I see fit. Echo botched the engagement. She jeopardized this entire operation.
You botched it, Mr. Witt. You gave her the memory of an abused girl, and you put her face to face with her abuser. She recognized one of her kidnappers, and she can find them again. She's the only one who can.
Ma'am, we need to distance ourselves from this. We don't know if the client's going to live. This is becoming news.
I'm sorry, Mr. Langton, but this is complicated.
No, it isn't. Echo's in pain, but she's the right girl for the job, and she knows the territory. She can find Davina before that man lays a finger on her. You Wiper, you've lost all of that.
We do not have a client.
We have
a
mission.
Can Wiper herself? She's an adult. God.
She's got a sloppy bottom.
I hope they have some wipes in there.
So I will overlook the error.
I've been here long enough.
This is an evil English woman running the dollhouse, Stephen.
Why is an English woman in America?
It's, she could profit with her dollhouse.
She's an evil English woman.
Here's the problem I have with dollhouse. This technology, everything. How is it profitable? I mean, seriously, how often? There's even a part where Hilo. I'm sorry, that's his name's Hilo. Yeah, no matter whatever show he's on from now on. His cop superiors are like, oh, let me get this right. There's a place called the Dollhouse, and there's some rich person running it who has rich clientele that hire these programmable people to do stuff. Does that sound at all plausible to you? And he's like, well, Joss Whedon created it. But like I said, I've read everywhere that this week's episode is way better and that the middleman is playing the bad guy, so I'm there.
That's all I need to hear.
I'm definitely going to watch this week.
Middleman!
Josh Whedon.
So let's talk about heroes, Stephen.
Let's.
Shall we?
Yes, Stephen.
The heroes.
The heroes.
What for all this research?
First of all, we didn't even talk about this, but Claire's getting text messages from Rebel. And one thing that I think is funny about text messages and TV shows, they happen instantly. It's just like, I'm Claire. Who are you, Rebel? Sin. Blink. I'm so-and-so. It's like, damn, that guy typed fast. Holy shit. You know, I always think about the person there. They're like, and there you go. How many of you guys know that Rebel is actually Nathan? He's doing all this for a reason, and he's actually trying to protect everyone. It makes no sense at all, but who cares?
I wouldn't, you know what? I wouldn't put it past the writers.
They're going to explain it somehow. I don't even know how. I don't even care, honestly. But we've got to have scenes with Claire fighting with her dad again. And this part, she gets text.
Don't you love that drama?
Oh, definitely.
She can really hold a scene together. She's excellent.
I like it. She gets text message from Rebel. Go to a comic book store. Rescue guy or whatever. So she goes there and there's a nerdy guy. And here's a part. This is my favorite part when she asks him about, does he have any powers? That's why he's being chased.
I can't believe it. They're just locking people up?
I believe it is happening. Somebody sent me to warn you. You must be on a list or something.
List? Why is he after me?
Do you have a power? Like a special ability or something?
Sense of music. I can breathe underwater.
You mean like
Yeah.
That's great power.
I wasn't swimming in high school.
I know, lame, damn it.
Can you talk to the fish?
No!
Never told anyone.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell anyone either, dude. Dude, can you be a Navy SEAL or something? Come on.
Instead, I just...
Be a lifeguard.
Be a lifeguard.
Feel like a...
A dork?
Like free?
Yeah. Oh, why free. Isn't he a lifeguard? Exactly. He could be the world's greatest lifeguard.
You can move to Smallville.
Don't use your credit cards or your cell phone. If he can find you at work, he can find you anywhere.
Oh, that's really smart.
Where am I
going to
do?
I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Found you.
And I love this car. This car drives by, and she goes, "Wait a second, is this car registered in your name?" He's like, "Yeah, it's my car." And she's like, "Run!" Dun, dun,
oh my
dun.
God, they're tracking us.
God, okay. Well, and then there's Siler with the little kid, and he's kind of like getting on his nerves a little bit because he just wants a friend, and he tells him all about his dad. Don't you like that scene in the diner? Honestly, the Siler storyline is the only one that's entertaining to me because it's fun seeing that actor just ham it up and have a good time or whatever. But he's talking about the reason why he wants to see his father and why does his father give him up and everything, Bill? You know, him and...
so emo.
Siler and the kid, they're just like outcasts or whatever.
Siler's taken on Peter's first season persona. Like, now Siler's all emo.
Yeah, he's like, I used to care about wanting others' powers. Now I just want to find my dad. I was like, what?
Well, that scene where he gives the monologue about, I remember that wagon.
Right.
I remember being dragged through the forest looking at the trees like they were arms reaching out for me. And I'm just like, what in the hell?
Why the hell are they
smoking up there?
Well, okay, here's another really bad part, and that is the tree. What is her name? The chick from the Cutting Edge movie?
Moira Kelly.
Yeah, Moira Kelly. She.
What the hell happened to her?
She's with the Defense Department, and she's like, "What are you doing to these people?" And she sees Tracy chained up. She's like, "I know that lady. What are you doing to her?" She's like,
"She's Strauss.
I'm shutting this down." And so she leaves. But later on, Tracy discovers her chains are loose, so she escapes. And she's standing there, and she's got a guy around the neck, and that Defense Department lady's back. Maura Kelly, she's like, "You need to let these people go. They're innocent," or whatever.
Let my people go.
It makes no sense at all that Tracy decides to kill the guy in front of her when she would have been released within the day, probably.
Yeah.
She's like, "I'll freeze them and shatter them." That made no sense at all, did it? Even later on, Tracy goes, "I realize now that you let me go because you wanted me to do that," or whatever. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? He's like,
The weak chain.
If she realized that Nathan wanted to let her go for something, then don't do anything. Because that's what he wanted. It made no sense, did it?
Yeah, no.
The show makes no sense. And if I have to suffer through one more scene with Hero and Ando, I'm going to blow my brains out.
Well, another thing is the girl, Moira Kelly, goes, "You get whatever funding you need. I got to tell the president about this frozen dude."
I can't believe she froze the top half of that man and shattered him
right in front of me.
Line at the end, whenever Nathan confronts the hunter about letting Nikki, Jennifer, Tracy out and doing that, and he goes, "If you want to apologize to him, the bloodstain's still warm." I was like, how is it warm? He was frozen. Warm?
I know. And they capture the punk-ass kid, and Siler comes back and kills them all. And gets his Dell Tough Book or whatever it is.
Yeah, just Panasonic Tough Book.
You know, and did you notice the Wi-Fi card, the Sprint card he had with it? It's like, oh,
yeah,
gotta
that's
have
convenient.
That. Yeah, I noticed Sprint and Bold there too. Gotta have that.
Yeah, and also whenever Hero holds up the phone with the picture in India, and it's like Sprint.
Yeah,
those Sprint phones get excellent reception in India.
So I thought this part was particularly funny, Bill. We were talking about this. Let's check it out.
"Thanks for coming back for me."
"I didn't come back for you. I came back for this. You just happened to be there."
"Mm-hmm."
"Tracked me twice in less than a week. I knew if I kept driving, it was only a matter of time before they caught up to me again. I needed to understand how they work."
"Still, you could have just left me."
"Oh, psycho killer." "Can't you see?
Yeah.
Best moment on Heroes ever." it was like transcendent. And that's like one of my all-time favorite songs. And just that to go on, I was just like, awesome.
Well,
and he's so great at hamming that shit up. Like when that turns on and he makes that smirk.
Right.
I was just like, oh, come on. That's great. If only the whole show could be that good.
That's the thing. Like, Siler's storyline's the only one that's slightly interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Eventually, is he going to want to kill the kid? I don't know. But the stuff with Hero is so lame. Like, Ando, I'm supposed to be the hero. I'm supposed to get my powers back. Oh, wait. It wasn't my powers I'm supposed to get back. I'm supposed to figure out I'm still a hero without my... It's like, shoot him in the head.
Like, he lost his memory, went back to being 10 years old, and then got everything back, but somehow he's still 10 years old.
Totally.
It's just,
and
it's
then
so irritating.
And the other thing.
Whenever Ando confronts the guy with the woman in the back room and he's like, "What's going on here?" And the guy grabs a pot, you see none of it, and then Hero goes in and she goes, "Oh, he knocked out Ando with this pot and carried him off."
It's like in the span of 2 seconds.
Yeah. What?
Ando weighs nothing. He's so light. And it's like, what is he going to do to Ando? Oh, he likes to rape men. It's like, oh my God, Ando.
The dark room with heat lamps. He has pet alligators, likes to feed Asian guys too.
Well, and another thing is the whole thing, you know, Claire, she's so angry at her dad. Her dad, he's such a dick and everything. She even tells her mom, "Dad's lying to you. He's such a jerk. He's actually kidnapping people and rounding them up for prison camps or some shit." She's like, "Oh my God." So he comes upstairs and she was like, "Is dinner ready?" And he's like, "No, Claire Bear, I'm leaving. Your mom asked me to leave." She's like, "Dad," and she hugs him. Huh?
You know, it's funny. You can tell that this show had Jeff Loeb as a showrunner. Because it's such, like, typical bad comic book writing that he would be involved with.
I wouldn't even insult comic books. That's, you know what I mean? It's that bad.
It really is.
I don't know what's going on, but and also that guy, the nerdy Aqua Boy, is living in her closet.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
That's where you're going to hide him, in the house you live in with your dad, who's going to capture him, because she didn't know at that point that he was moving out.
No.
And he's they show him drinking at a bar, and he's been drugged. Who slipped him a Mickey? Oh, it's Peter Parkman.
Parkman
and Mohinder and all that. So can't wait to see what comes.
The only way this show's going to get better if they bring on Rob Liefeld.
Rob Liefeld.
You'll never see anybody's feet.
Get
again.
Some young blood. Yeah, like,
nobody's feet is in frame from then on.
You just gotta leave the feet out, and everybody, there's a million ass shots.
Like, what was that website? The top 20 worst Rob Liefeld drawings? And I was laughing my ass off. They were so bad and out of proportion and stuff. It was the most hilarious shit I've ever seen. And if people don't know who it is, remember that old Levi's commercial where it's like, Rob Liefeld? And he's like, "Oh, he's got a camera on his head. Records the wrongdoings of others." Oh, God, it's so bad. But
wouldn't that be funny, though, if they brought him on? They need to bring in every shit comic book.
I know.
And then just be like, this show is the greatest. I would watch it then.
Totally. Now let's talk about 24. Now, first of all, I want to talk about this. You know, we talk about crazy computer stuff on 24 and Smallville all the time, especially. Both Chloe's always talk about ridiculous computer stuff.
Yes, I've got them straight now. Chloe O'Brien, Chloe Sullivan.
That's right. And they also have, this year, in the FBI, they have Janine Garofalo. She's a computer geek type person, but they've already established that Chloe knows way more than her. I love Chloe starts her first day at the FBI to help. She's like, "Who installed this? They did it all wrong. They were clueless." And the guy's like, "Oh, I did." I thought that was funny. But they're figured out. Jack and the redheaded hot FBI chick with freckles. I don't remember her name, Bill.
Freckle Big Boobs is her name.
Yes. They found the bad guy. I can't remember the bad guy's name. Mutombo.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah. What was his name? E.K.
E.K. Dubaku.
E.K. Dubaku has a girlfriend.
Or Ike Dubaku.
I love that guy's voice, by the way. E.K. Dubaku.
He reminds me of the 7-Up guy.
Totally. They have Carla. If only Carla on Top Chef had his voice, that would be perfect.
No, wrong 7-Up guy.
Yeah, it's true. But that would be great, though, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
So basically what happens here is they find E.K. Dabaku's girlfriend, who has no idea he's a terrorist. So they bust in on her, and they're like, "This guy, he's an animal. He's called the Butcher of Sangala. Ever heard of him?" She's like, "No, he's a sweet guy. What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
So they are.
He's the love of my life.
So E.K. Dabaku calls her. He's like, "Hey, baby, I'm going to send a car to pick you up." And Jack's like, "Oh, this is perfect. We'll have you get on the car and we'll follow you and then apprehend him," right? So basically.
Perfect plan.
It's a fantastic plan. And the only
problem. What could go wrong?
Cut to the FBI, and Chloe's handling all this in the FBI, and Janine Garofalo's character is like, "What are they doing in there?" She's like, "John," whatever the guy's name is, "I need the beta key." He's like, "The beta key?" She's like, "Yeah, don't you have access to it?" He's like, "You could get in real trouble. Don't worry about that. You wouldn't
I thought his name was Billy Walsh.
Yeah, it is Billy Walsh, director of Medellin. It's the same actor. And she's like, you don't want somebody to find out about your little affair with that chick over there. And he's like, damn it. And so he like opens it up. He hands her this, looks like a USB drive with blinking red code. Like,
sweet.
And a red light on the end.
Oh, man. The beta key.
It's a cipher. It's like an automatic cipher that you can plug into any port and it opens shit up.
She can control all the FBI mainframe with the beta key, Steven. It's awesome. Apparently beta keys exist, I guess. I don't have a beta key.
And not just the kind that gets you into MMOs.
Get the beta key. Sign up now for new World of Warcraft. So she's got the beta key to play some FBI simulator or something. I don't know. But there's the chick that this guy has been nailing, like having an affair with. I'm like, she is so familiar. Who is this chick? I gotta know. I'm looking her up on IMDb. I'm trying to find out. It turns out she's the daughter, real life daughter of Robert Carradine, who we all know is Lewis from Revenge of the Nerds. How awesome is that? She got major cred for me after that.
Yeah,
I still don't know what the hell I remember her from, but still.
Yeah, she was in like the SUVs and stuff like that. The,
right.
What? Special unit.
I remember what she was from. I remembered her from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. She played Jay's mom in the flashback when he was a little baby.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
She leaves him in front of the store by himself, and this guy goes, nice parenting! She's like, F you! That's what I remembered her from. So, that's her dad, Lewis. So, anyway, back to 24, okay?
Clap hands, everybody.
So, anyway, Jack and the hot FBI chick are following the girlfriend, and then all of a sudden the cops start surrounding them. What the hell is going on? Let's check it out, Steven.
Larry, we got a situation here.
What's going on?
I got Metro PD trying to build a roadblock around us.
What? Why would they be doing that?
I don't know. Just get them off us.
Hands in the air! Hands in the air!
My name is Jack Bauer.
I am the star of the show.
Don't you know who I am?
I've only got 17 hours left.
The hour's about to end.
Come on, Larry. Do something.
Captain, you got to release this ticket immediately. No.
I'll shock you with a lamp cord.
No federal warrants have been issued for them.
Yes, they have. A warrant was called in for the vehicle. Occupants armed and dangerous to be apprehended with decisive force.
By who?
FBI, this office. There's no attribution.
How did the mole type that up so fast?
Yeah.
Someone here.
Speed typist.
Marika's car just
and how the hell did the cops know exactly
Captain,
where they were?
Listen carefully. I'm the special agent in charge of this operation, and I'm revoking these warrants immediately.
Sir.
No. No, I don't have time to deal with your chain of command. You need to release these people right now.
Wow. And the whole time you think that it's Janine Garofalo's character, but it turns out to be Billy Walsh, director of Medellin, who's the bad guy.
Yep. He always seems like a bad guy to me.
Because when she had the beta key, she goes in to check on it, and really all she was checking was to see what Chloe was doing because she thought Chloe was trying to steal her job. That seems so unbelievable.
Oh, God. Force.
You stole
and
the beta
the hell
key?
Would she tell him what they're doing?
I know. And there's a great part there where he's like, she's like, here's the beta key back. You know, don't tell anybody. He's like, you're such a little bitch. She goes, no, you're a little bitch. And walks away. And I thought that was hilarious.
Best part of the show.
So the episode ends with Jack and the chick getting arrested. Meanwhile, the poor girlfriend is driving away with the guys. Look, what the hell?
Baku is about to put a bullet in her head.
Ike the Baku. The one thing that we learned from this episode is Ike the Baku, he's in love. He's a romantic, Bill.
Wasn't there a guy named DeMarco on 24 too?
Ike DeMarco. Yeah, his name was Ike DeMarco, I think. They're like, let's see, well, how can we... Ike the Baku. Yeah, we'll do that this season. Instead of Ike, it's Ike. And you know what's funny is I watch the show a lot of times. Sometimes I watch at night after my daughter's asleep, and I'll have closed captioning on. And when they said Ike Dabaku, it was spelled I-K-E, Ike. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Who the hell's Ike Dabaku?
Ike Dabaku. Now, Steven, did you see Lost this week?
Yes.
And you know what's... I listen to different radio sometimes, Bill, different radio shows, and I was listening to one where they were trashing this episode, like, this show's gotten ridiculous. And I was like, huh? What? Because I thought this episode was totally awesome. Did
you know
not?
What? You get into theoretical physics, and then people are like, oh my God, what the hell? This is so dumb.
Now, let's go ahead and play this clip. This old lady, the mother from Brotherhood that I keep saying, because she's the mom on Brotherhood, who I think is a great actress. She's great here. She's a Daniel Faraday's mom, and she's in this underground Dharma bunker. What did they call it? The lighthouse?
The lighthouse.
The lamppost.
The lamppost, yeah. Right.
Did you get all the Chronicles of Narnia things?
References?
Yeah, the lamppost and all that. I can't remember them all, but there were a lot of Chronicles of Narnia references.
No, I didn't. That's cool.
And I think that had to do with the fact that there were a lot of Christ references also. So I think they're setting up Locke to be kind of a Christ figure who's going to be resurrected on the island.
Right. And I like that scene where this – I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but I love that scene where Ben tells Jack about how the guy didn't believe that Jesus was resurrected. He had to actually touch the wounds to believe.
Yeah.
Basically, he was telling Jack, like, you may not understand it, but that doesn't mean it's not true, is what he's basically telling Jack. But let's go ahead and check this scene out.
All right, I apologize if this is confusing, but let's pay attention, yes?
Sure, okay.
The room we're standing in was constructed years ago over a unique pocket of electromagnetic energy. That energy connects to similar pockets all over the world. The people who built this room, however, were only interested in one,
the island.
Yes, the island. They'd gathered proof that it existed. They knew it was out there somewhere, but they just couldn't find it. Then a very clever fellow built this pendulum on the theoretical notion that they should stop looking for where the island was supposed to be and start looking for where it was going to be.
What do you mean, where it was going to be?
Well, this fellow presumed, and correctly as it turned out, that the island was always moving. Why do you think you were never rescued? Now, while the movements of the island seem random, this man and his team created a series of equations which tell us with a high degree of probability where it is going to be at a certain point in time. Windows, as it were, that while open provide a route back. Unfortunately, these windows don't stay open for very long. Yours closes in 36 hours.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Am I really hearing this? That's what this is about. You're all going back to the island willingly?
I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Desmond, but the island isn't done with you yet.
You listen to me, brother. And you listen carefully. These people, they're just using us. They're playing some kind of game, and we are just the pieces. Whatever she tells you to.
Did you catch that, Bill?
The binder in your hands shows all the air routes that fly over the coordinates where I believe the island will be in little more than a day from now. There's a commercial airliner flying from L.A. to Guam that's going to go right through our window. Ajira Airways, flight 316. If you have any hope of the island bringing you back, it must be that plane. You all need to be on it.
Got doo-doo and chocolate over his hands.
What?
You know what's crazy is, you know, speaking of, like, the Christ references in this episode, it was called 316.
Right.
You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son.
That's what I love about the show is they reference so many different books and things like that. They're the writers are so clever, and they've explored so many different things, and they reference so many different things.
And that the apostle that you were talking about, that's Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas.
Right.
They used the painting by Caravaggio in the where he's poking the wound on Jesus' side.
I love that how Ben, you notice how subtly he tells something to Jack and he convinces him instantly. He's just so good at that. which I still believe that Ben is pure evil. And the one part on the plane, they realize they're on the plane now, and I have no idea how Kate got there. She says, don't ask me about what happened to Aaron. He's like, okay. Which we'll find out in a later episode, I'm sure. Yeah. Or how Saeed showed up in handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Which, remember, Kay was in handcuffs originally on the plane, which is kind of interesting. And remember, we already determined, she tells Jack that you need something of your father's on lock because you were carrying your dead father in a casket. But when he says, what's going to happen to all these people, Ben, who are on the plane? Like, if they crash or something, he goes, who cares? And that's where you realize, Ben really is just pure evil. All he cares about is himself, right? But I love the beginning of the episode, how we got the opening shot on the eye again. Didn't you love that?
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of that in season one, but I don't know if we did a lot. But.
I think one of my favorite moments of the show was, though, Hugo. Hugo was reading a Spanish version of Why the Last Man, the Brian K. Vaughan book.
Nice. That is
like, hey, yeah.
But I love what Desmond says here.
They're playing some kind of game, and we are just the pieces.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
And it's entirely possible. I love this show so much.
That's what I'm saying is, one thing, when I read that site, I think maybe the guy has pieces of something, right? It's like you hear different theories. I believe they're different pieces, but it's all cut and dried as that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I love the ending. Because I was talking to you about this. How many episodes of Lost have ended with somebody walking up with gunpoint and being some kind of shocking revelation who they are or something, and cut, the show's over? That's happened so many times on the show. Think about it. And when this happens at the end, they're like, Jin? And he's in a Dharma suit and he's got a rifle. It's like, what?
Another big reveal that we didn't even mention is when they're on the plane and the captain is Lapidus.
Yes, that was great. I'll be your captain this evening.
Like, we're not going to Guam, are we?
Yeah, he's like, wait, what is everybody
and
doing?
Of course, Saeed is arrested on the plane. I mean, just the way everything worked together.
It was all
so
manipulated
awesome. Perfectly,
whoever pulled it off. And was...
like the waiting for the plane, too, and they're like, okay, we're going to start allowing standby passengers, and Hugo runs up. No, all those seats are mine.
It's
nobody
like,
else.
I bought those seats, yeah. They can't sit there. Yeah.
I wonder when we're going to find out who the hell beat Ben up.
I know. He says, I have a promise to keep. He goes to the dock where I believe Desmond and Penny are.
Yeah.
He went to murder Penny, is what I'm thinking. Something bad, really bad happened. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, same here.
Which Desmond's gonna...
Didn't he make a promise to Widmore that he would kill Penny?
Yes. So if Desmond wasn't there yet or something, he's going to come back. Because, the scene was edited up, but Desmond was like, you told me I was supposed to go to the island for a reason and whatever. I'm done with it. And she's like, the island's not done with you yet. He's like, well, I'm done with the island. And he takes off.
Ben probably had somebody outside the church follow Desmond back to where he was.
I love that where Jack goes, he says, Ben, did you know of this place? And he goes, no. And he goes, is he telling the truth? She goes, probably not. That was great. But there was so much exposition there in that scene. That was just like an awesome scene, didn't you think? The lady saying all that stuff. And I love how they fly over the island and then they're there. And Hugo, of course, is in the middle of the water. That's where he appears. But the scene with Jack just waking up it looked like the same place he woke up when he first arrived on the island, in the very first episode. I love the way that was done. That was really cool. And I don't know what the hell is going on. Of course, I was just as confused and disoriented as they were when it was over. But I can't wait till next week when it's all about Locke. Can't wait to see that stuff. And that letter Jack keeps carrying around, he doesn't want to read it. And he tries to get rid of it, and it comes back to him. So finally, he knows what it's going to say, even. And he was right. That's what I thought was cool, is when he opens up, it is exactly what he thought it was going to say. It's like, I wish...
Yeah, I told you so.
Basically, I wish you would have believed me. And I love when you realize when he's on the... That's what I love about Lost. When the episode begins, they're already on the island. He stands up. He has this piece of paper. It says, "I wish." And you're like, what the hell is that? Then later on in the episode, he's got the paper. He reads it. And then he's standing there again. You know what that is and what the "I wish" was. That's what I love about this show. It gives me chills at times. That's how cool it is. And it looks gorgeous in HD, doesn't it?
It does look gorgeous.
Can't wait to see more. And you know what? Battlestar Galactica had a very similar revelatory episode, didn't it? With a lot of exposition, too.
Yeah.
And it's Sam. I'm just going to play the clip, and then we'll talk about it, because he says so much information here. Let's check it out, okay? Battlestar Galactica this week. Just to remind you guys what we're talking about. Okay.
A wonderful thing has happened. You have to get the others.
What others?
Galen and Tori and Saul and Ellen, please.
Ellen's dead, Sam.
Of course. Of course, I know. There's too many layers. Just get the rest of them. Please tell them I remember everything. Earth. Why we're here. Everything.
We all worked in the same research facility. You and Ellen, you were married then, too. You two lived together.
What, like roommates?
No. You were madly in love. You were planning on getting married.
When the nukes hit, I pulled Ellen out of the rubble. She said we'd be reborn. Does that mean we downloaded somewhere?
Yeah. On a ship that we place in orbit around the planet.
So we knew the end was coming.
We've been warned, yeah.
We downloaded.
Yeah.
But the Cylons on Earth could have children, so why did we even have that technology?
Probably invented restoration.
Okay, you're cold as ice.
Fine.
You still have a bullet in your head. You want
to
take a break?
Kara, I have so much more to tell them. We didn't invent resurrection, okay? We reinvented it. Organic memory transfer came from Kobol along with the 13th tribe. And it fell out of use after our people started to procreate. We worked night and day to rebuild it. Galen, your work was amazing. But it was Ellen. It was Ellen who made the intuitive leap that brought the system back online.
All right, I said you could have 5 minutes. It's been over half an hour now. Good gods, man, you're soaked in sweat.
He said he was okay.
EJ, get your ass
where
in
were we
here.
Where going? What was the plan?
Look, Colonel, you may be the XO,
this
but in
was great
bay,
because
I
you want
the
doc to get out of there, too. Like, shut up!
Please.
So why did we go to the 12 colonies?
We needed to find the other tribes and warn them. We knew they would continue to create artificial life. We needed to tell them...
It's Jack.
Treat them
Jack
well.
Ballard.
Keep them close. But by the time we got to the colonies, they were already at war with the Centurions. It happened again.
But the Holocaust on Earth took place thousands of years before that. How is that possible?
We hadn't developed jump drives. We traveled at relativistic but subluminal speed. Time slowed down for us, but thousands of years had passed on the colors.
Hey.
Just give me a second.
Hey.
Kara, I'm fine. I have to do this. You remember the Demetrius. You know what it is when you have something that you have to do.
I used to.
The Centurions were already trying to make flesh bodies. They had created the hybrids, but nothing that lived on its own, so we made them a deal. You stop the war, and we'll help you. We developed the 8 humanoid models, and we gave them resurrection.
8? You said 8. We're missing someone.
Whoa.
Maybe it's me!
Everybody's glowing.
Sam. Get Doc Cottle. Get him. Get Doc Cottle. Doc Cottle. Cottle. Sam. Get Cottle. Get the...
What I love about the Doc, he's always smoking a cigarette around people. It's like they're dying and just lighting up in front of him. But Ellen and the rest of them created the human Cylons. And the first one they created was... Dean Stockwell, who's a total dick, isn't he?
Alan Ziggy.
And she created him after her father.
And that makes that whole sex stuff they had on Caprica so disgusting.
I don't want to hear about Dean Stockwell in sex.
Not only that, she had sex with Dean Stockwell, but he was the image of her dad. And Bill and I figured out who, it's not, we know who's pulling the strings, it's Ziggy. Steven.
Yep. Ziggy is a bastard. He would never get the right information on that little glowing
ding,
thing.
He'd always bang on Ziggy. Yeah. Ziggy held a lot of anger. Remember he'd bang on Ziggy? Ziggy didn't like that.
No, Ziggy did not like that.
I figured it was that weird doctor with a mustache.
I'm thinking Scott Bakula shows up on the finale.
I think he's Daniel.
Oh, that's, they talk about Daniel, who was like, didn't they say he was really sweet?
He was. And he was a sensitive artist.
He was like the prodigal son that Cavill, who hates his old shriveled ass body, bony ass. He boxed Daniel because Daniel was like this perfect specimen or something. That's what I got from him in a way. Jealousy.
Starbucks' desperation to want to be a Cylon is so irritating. It's like, come on, honey. Get on with your life.
I'm waiting to see what her story is, because I have no freaking clue, man. Got nothing.
She's an autistic child dreaming all of this up.
Wait a second.
In a snow globe.
That was Lost last week, I thought.
It's every show, every week.
I'm waiting for the final 24 when we find out.
Find out that it's an autistic child.
But it's actually Kiefer Sutherland, who is autistic.
He's sitting next to Brady in the home.
Yeah, it's Brady!
That's a great story, Jack. Tell me again. Well, I'm an agent for CTU. Oh, this is a great story.
Can I raise the rabbits, George?
I'm going to pet them and hug them and squeeze them. Yeah.
It's a free society.
Yeah, it is a free society.
Jungle out there.
Except there ain't nothing free, because there's no guarantees, you know? You're on your own.
You're on your own.
All the jungle.
I love that guy. So, I mean, this episode was crazy. There's so much to soak in, and then it was over.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch it tonight after the show.
I can't wait to see what more happens with Ellen. And her character was so annoying. Remember, she's just the slut. Yeah. They added this whole new dynamic to her character. It was so
funny. Isn't it funny how it completely changes what we thought of her?
Yeah. And
like the whole discussion, her therapy session on the base ship with Cavill was just like, wow, this chick's got her shit together.
And he's like, and the interesting thing is they want Resurrection back. They're like, tell us how to do it again. And she's like, no, I need everybody to do that. And he's like, I don't believe you. We're going to dissect your brain. And then
I'm gonna open it and read it like Siler.
And then Boomer helps her escape. And
but it kind of reveals how like Cavill is just like a big crybaby bitch. Like this entire war started because of his ineptitude.
She says he's a spoiled child. Mm-hmm. And I love that backstory where she said, where Anders basically says that he killed us. He pretty much double crossed him. And then he was having, you know, he was basically playing games with them, you know? And when he basically, when you think back to those new Capra episodes, when he said, if you want your husband freed, you have to have sex with me. He was basically, he hated her so much, he was doing that, humiliating her, but she didn't even know why. And remember, he even ripped out Ty's eye, and Ty had no idea why he was being like that. It's because he knew them, and they were these elite Cylons that created him. It's really crazy. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, I read certain things. You know, I don't know what it's supposed to mean, like, when you first find out Ellen's the fifth Cylon. Like, what does that mean? It doesn't make any sense. This episode kind of, like, goes, oh, okay. You know, it kind of, like, it makes it easier to understand in a way, you know? It's really cool. I can't wait to find out more. I mean, yes, I'm still confused. I'm not going to say, hey, that...
it all makes sense, but it doesn't.
The coolest thing is that the PC guy was the brain surgeon.
Yeah, John Lodge.
The guy from the Mac commercials.
Can't believe we had to sit through three episodes of Mutiny to get to this.
I know. But that last Mutiny episode I thought was really good. So
yeah.
I liked there's one scene with Apollo and the president, Rosalind, in that room full of bullet holes, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get into the news, Bill. What do you say?
All right, let's do some news.
Yes. Yeah, that's right, my dizzle. Whatever. Shut up, Jesus.
Shit, my dizzle.
That's embarrassing.
Thank you.
now. Full Tourette's.
Huh? All right, Bill, what have we got in the news this week?
Uh-oh.
Do we drop Bill? Oh, shit, we did.
I'm here, I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought we dropped you.
No, I muted the microphone so I could put a cough drop in, and I forgot to unmute it.
Rat alert.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. He's back, all right?
All the jungle. All
right, so...
I love that.
Man, one guy makes the whole RoboCop movie.
All right, so here's an incredible coincidence. In the film The Wrestler, there's a character that sells Mickey Rourke's character his steroids. this guy, the actor is Scott Siegel. And he was arrested Thursday in a large steroid bust that culminated in a violent chase. He played a steroid dealer in The Wrestler and has proven that his role might have been art imitating life. He's also accused by federal prosecutors in Manhattan of leading Drug Enforcement Administration agents and local police on a car chase worthy of an action flick.
Nice.
Scott Siegel, 34, was held without bail on federal drug dealing charges and assault charges at a court appearance on Thursday in White Plains, New York. The arrest and chase played out 3 days before the Oscars, where The Wrestler could garner an Academy Award. I wonder if, like, Darren Aronofsky went, hey, let's get a real drug dealer to play this guy.
It sounds like it.
We got a situation here.
All right, so I love guys that impersonate cops. They always have a good reason to do it, and this guy had a great reason. A Massachusetts man has been charged with impersonating a police officer while allegedly breaking into a car in Salem. Police say witnesses reported hearing a car window being smashed in a Walmart parking lot on Tuesday, then seeing a 37-year-old Ernie Masonette of Beverly, Massachusetts, standing next to the car with a broken window. Masonette flashed a badge and said he was a police officer looking for drug dealers. The witness called police, who stopped the car, which Masonette was riding. Police searched the car and reported finding two MP3 players and, get this, 22 bags of frozen shrimp.
Huh?
Woohoo! It's a party! He's like, man, oh, this is a jackpot! A car full of shrimp!
And look at this shit.
Now he needs to go steal some seafood stuff.
I love shrimp, though. Sometimes it's good enough where he's like, I'd steal this. You know what I mean? Good stuff.
Man, this is so good. I dress up as a cop and steal it out of cars at Walmart.
You know how expensive shrimp is?
That shit is expensive. Unless you go to
22 bags of seafood gold.
All you can eat shrimp at Red Lobster.
Oh, God, their shrimp scampi is some of the worst shrimp I've ever had in my life.
Their shrimp, like their popcorn shrimp, tastes like popcorn shrimp you bought at the grocery store.
Yeah, it does. It's because they do. They go and they buy it.
That, you know, Gorton's or whatever.
Gorton's Fisherman.
I had some jumped up bait.
They've got a guy in a yellow rain slicker in the back in the kitchen. All right, so here's a great story from England. Employees at a British hotel said they were ecstatic when they received a $25 billion tip.
Whoa.
Until they discovered the money was Zimbabwean and worthless in Britain.
Wow.
Oh, my God. We just got a $25 billion tip in Zimbabwean money.
Which is worth three goats and two cows.
Yeah, how much was that worth, like the exchange rate?
Yeah, it's like $2. It's like Who Wants to Be a Turkish Millionaire.
It's jump change!
We thought we'd won the jackpot and imagined how we'd spend it. Then we realized it wouldn't even buy a penny chew, hotel worker Deborah Heathers told The Sun.
Wow, that sucks.
They stiffed us.
Inflation in Zimbabwe, by the way, is 231 million%.
Holy shit. I would
some serious inflation.
Except there ain't nothing free, because there's no guarantees, you know?
No, there isn't.
You're on your own.
You gotta love guys that claim hate crimes for no reason. 27-year-old Cleveland man will be charged with making false alarms after he fell outside of a strip club earlier this month and made an incident out to be a hate crime. David Cosmet could face 6 months in jail and up to $1,000 fine if convicted. He told Cleveland police he was assaulted February 2nd outside Secrets Gentlemen Club. Nice.
Yeah, don't hang out outside gentlemen's clubs. Go in.
According to the police report, Cosmet said that he walked toward his car after meeting a friend at the club. Someone in a group of three African-American men called him a racial slur.
Oh.
He told police he was punched in the face and then all three men beat him. He suffered a broken leg and was taken to Metro Health Medical Center. Cleveland police said the detectives investigated the incident as a felonious assault and hate crime until they watched surveillance tape a few days later. He actually slipped and fell in the parking lot.
Are you serious?
I'm going to put my foot in your ass.
Yeah, he slipped and fell. But he continued to stick to his story.
What is it? Just, it was more interesting, I guess? Or?
I guess. You know, why not make up a hate crime? I guess that's a whole lot less embarrassing than, oh, I fell on my ass drunk outside a strip club.
And look at this shit.
Wow.
All right. In Des Moines, Iowa, a gunman cautioned two robbery victims Wednesday night against underestimating him. Don't underestimate me because I have glasses and I'm fat, he told them.
Well, you're not dealing with Johnny Bananas. Come on.
Yeah. Don't underestimate me either because I have glasses and I'm fat. Ermin Mutapisic. Whoa.
Who?
Ermin Mutapisic, 21, of Des Moines, and Daniel Benjamin of Clive did as they were told. Three men took them to a convenience store and told Mutapisic to withdraw cash from a machine. He told them he didn't have any money in his account. Bummer. At gunpoint, the man went to the machine at the Come and Go store.
Come and Go.
Yeah, I think there was Toot and Scoot in Pennsylvania.
What's going on?
All right, and showed to captors he really didn't have any money in his account. A man in the car outside the store was pointing a gun at him while another man was looking at his account on the ATM screen.
Is this guy an idiot?
I know. The man was released shortly after there and called the police. The crime started at a night spot in Clive where the victims met the robbers. The victims kind of knew one of the men and decided to go to another bar with them. They tried to rob the first man, but he had nothing to give them. Same with the second. So they're not very smart. They should maybe hang out at a richer club where people might actually have money in their accounts.
Wow.
In Orange, California, police are really, really stupid. 150 pounds of highly unstable commercial-grade dynamite has gone missing.
Oh, shit. That's not good.
Yeah, but the police there decided to demonstrate how dangerous high explosive can be by blowing stuff up.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah, federal and local authorities hoping to trigger a tip 4 months of... After four months of fruitless leads, detonated one-third of a pound of dynamite borrowed from the FBI on Wednesday. The demonstration within sight of Anaheim Stadium and near a bike path created a bright orange flash and a plume of smoke. The explosion set off a car alarm and startled some passing birds, but was unclear if the second-long baby bang would generate the desired tips. Yeah, that's really smart. Okay, so somebody stole 150 pounds of this stuff, so why not, you know, blow up shit so they can see how powerful this stuff is?
So this is only a third of a
pound. Yeah, this is only a third of a pound, and you have 150 pounds of it.
So is it like the person who stole it or whatever will be like, oh, this shit's
so unstable.
I need to return it. Is that what they were doing?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. They just want to get the visual and the message out there. I guess it was five 50-pound boxes of Hercules, Herkomite bland blasting agent, 75 blasting caps, fuses, and detonators stolen last September or October.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so somebody's planning something there.
That's kind of scary.
Retail is a terrible, terrible line of work.
Yes, it
and,
is.
This is bullshit here.
Sometimes people just get pissed off. In Natick, Massachusetts, all the customer wanted was coffee. Instead, now he needs four new tires.
Uh-oh.
Police say a worker at a Massachusetts Dunkin' Donuts slashed the tires on a customer's Jeep after the two got into an argument on Tuesday. 39-year-old Thomas Zakulak, or
cool name.
It's an awesome name. Was charged with malicious destruction of property and disturbing the peace. Police say the dispute broke out when the customer, whose name wasn't released, probably because it wasn't as cool as that other guy's name.
Zakulak.
Zakulak. Dr. Zakulak. started to leave because he was tired of waiting for the cup of coffee he ordered. Words were exchanged, and Zakulak allegedly followed him outside, pulled out a folding knife, and slashed the tires.
Holy shit.
Go on. police said the clerk, the only worker on duty, then resumed serving customers.
Except there ain't nothing free, because there's no guarantees, you know? You're on your own.
You know,
my friend Walter, I don't know if I've told this story before on the air, but he worked at Oshman Sporting Goods. I know I've told Steven this, where a customer was such a dick to him that Walter went, he clocked out, followed the guy outside. He goes, "I'm off the clock. Say something now, bitch." And the guy was like, "I'm sorry. He's like, I was having a bad day." He's like, "I'm going to kick your ass." He's like, "I don't care about my job anymore. I will not let anyone ever talk to me like that again. I'm going to beat this guy's ass." And the guy just totally buckled. "I'm really sorry. I was having a bad day. I didn't mean it. Blah, blah, blah." So he went in there, and he said every time he heard manager, line one, he's like, "This is it, man. I'm fired. But he said he never got busted or anything.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Walter was a big dude.
Yeah, he's scary. If Walter came up to me and goes, "Say something now, bitch," I'd be like, "My life is over."
Law of the jungle.
Yeah, it's the law of the jungle. That's the way it goes. Law of the jungle.
You know how they just issued like a 3-month extension on the digital TV switch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think I understand why now. I didn't quite understand before. The digital transition has left some confused, but a Joplin, Missouri man was downright frustrated with the switch. So frustrated, in fact, that he peppered his television with gunfire.
Holy shit.
We got a situation here.
He's
police
really
responded
frustrated.
To the man's house.
I don't understand, so I'm going to shoot the TV.
Don't take it out on the TV. Come on.
Police responded to the man's house Wednesday after reports of shots being fired inside. The 70-year-old gunman was livid over losing his cable and could not get his digital converter box to work. Damn it, I need to watch The Price is Right!
I've been that frustrated before with my computer this week. I was thinking about it. It's a good thing I didn't have a gun.
Police took Walter Hoover into custody after a brief standoff and charged him with unlawful use of a firearm.
A brief standoff?
Yeah. Hoover's wife told police that he'd been drinking before the incident. You think?
That's
maybe?
Embarrassing.
Oh, not good.
Last story is very interesting. Normally you don't hear about men suing people or saying they were assaulted by a stripper at a dance club.
Oh, whatever.
Myrtle Beach man told police he was bitten by a dancer at the Masters Club.
Whoa,
nice.
Holy shit.
A 29-year-old man told police between 12:40 and 1:40 a.m. February 11th he was at the club getting a dance from a 19-year-old Conway woman.
Holy shit.
When she bit his nipple.
Whoa.
The man told police he asked the woman to buy him a drink for biting him, but instead she attempted to slap him. I thought you weren't allowed to touch, you know.
You're not allowed to touch them, and apparently they can abuse you.
It depends on the state.
Really?
Police noted the man who had no signs of injury had been drinking and appeared intoxicated, according to the report.
He's got chocolate over his hands.
The women, or the woman, told she was dancing for the man, and she bit his shirt and pulled it away from his body with her teeth. The woman said she finished the dance. The man tipped her a dollar. Like,
that's what you get, baby. You bit my nipple. All you get is buck, bitch.
Nipple biter.
Private dance, and he gives her a dollar.
Suck it up, buttercup.
An hour later, the woman said she put her hand on his shoulder to offer him a dance, and he shouted not to be touched and swung his arm at
her. Don't touch me!
He molested that poor thing. People have gone to jail for worse.
My nipple's still sore.
Don't touch me! Don't touch me, dirty whore! My nipple aches!
The woman said the man went to management and reported the incident. According to the report, the woman said security then escorted him out of the club.
Can you just go and also shut the door?
And that's news this week.
Oh, shit. Thanks, Bill. I had to cough every
Thank
second.
You.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week, if you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying, and I appreciate it, just as long as there's no sexual intonations there.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
Well, you're not dealing with Johnny Bananas. Come on.
Yeah, it's not... You're not dealing with...
name.
Johnny Bananas. yes. My Coke went down the wrong pipe, and I'm really in a bad shape
right
now.
Oh, I hate that.
Wow.
The worst is whenever spit goes down the wrong pipe.
Yeah. We're going to sound that whenever one of us has a problem like that.
Rat alert. Rat alert. Rat alert.
Let me just get a drink of water real quick, okay? I know. There's no guarantees, right, Steven?
Except there ain't nothing free, because there's no guarantees, you know? You're on your own.
That's right. I think I'm doing better now. I'm good.
Out of the jungle.
All right, Steven, what do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do it.
Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs!
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs, everybody! Oh, yeah, that's right, Snoop Dogg!
DVDs.
But don't scat.
Nice. Yes, love it.
Yo, what's up? My name's P. Hilda.
Oh, God, shut up. Jesus.
I've got herpidizzle.
Have you heard anything more embarrassing than that? It's just like, ugh. Her porn tape was like more like, you know, this is more acceptable than this shit.
Good
this
is quite possibly one of the laziest porns I've ever seen.
No, she's
Yeah.
She just lays there with her ass in the air.
All right, Bill, what do we have? I haven't seen it, so, yeah.
Yeah, you're not missing anything. All right, DVDs this week, starting off with the Blu-ray. This will be my third version of the film to own.
Awesome.
Akira on Blu-ray. That's
Akira.
Right.
Akira!
HD. Tetsuo!
The Canada! Mickey Mouse! Dumbo! Oh, wait, wrong movie.
that's the killer, sorry.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it's the thing I'm most excited about, Dolby True HD 5.1. Okay.
Sweet. I was telling you, the only time I've ever seen this was drunk
Did you show it?
Yeah, in Dallas. Was it like the Magnolia or what, the Inwood?
The Inwood.
And I was drunk off my ass. Like, what the hell is movie bad?
I just remember when the big explosion came, the screen went white for like 5 minutes, and we thought it was over.
Yeah, we thought the film was going to melt. Like,
I mean, it was just white. And,
sorry,
and,
dude,
and,
what the hell is
and
movie
some other
about?
People started getting up like they were leaving, so we started to get up and...
It's like,
and it,
Tetsuo. It's like, what? I hear an Asian talking. This movie ain't over yet.
Was it the dub or was it the Japanese?
It was subtitled. Oh, you know how I feel about subtitles.
Oh, stop it.
Wait, first of all, I'm drunk off my ass. I'm going to see a friggin' cartoon and there's letters on the screen. I can't follow this shit. I'm drunk off my ass. You know what I'm saying?
Diarrhea of the mouth. Full Tourette's.
Yeah, exactly.
But I have, let's see here. I have the Pioneer version on DVD. It came with the blue tin. Very cool. And I have the other version that has the full bitrate DTS track on it. And now I own the Blu-ray.
Now, is it really that good? Should I give it another chance?
You know what?
Chance?
It's not about the film, because the film is a jumbled mess. The original manga is much, it makes sense. Whereas the film makes absolutely no sense.
It's got some
it's
cool sequences.
It's more about the fact that it was like all hand-drawn animation. Every
right.
moment of
the motorcycle sequence and all that is really kick-ass. Yeah. See, I wasn't totally gone by then, so I
and the music, that. The music and the sound are just top-notch in it. It's a classic. I have the poster on my wall right here next to me that they use. Hey!
That's Chinese.
Racist.
That's Chinese racist, Rosie. Come on.
Danny DeVito.
I don't think
yeah,
he
I'm
does
just glad now that John Lasseter is the head of Disney Animation and he's bringing back hand-drawn animation. Granted, it won't be as cool as Akira, but it'll be cool. But one of my all-time favorites.
Awesome. And in Blu-ray. I'm going to check it out, definitely. And I'm, you know, I don't drink anymore, so I'll be stone sober. Come on, this All is right. my early 20s. I was like, if it was a Friday, it's like, wait, no alcohol? Screw that. good times.
Six-pack in the video game.
All right, next DVD is Aisha Tyler is Lit at the Fillmore.
What? Is it sci-fi?
No, Aisha Tyler's the female comedian.
Oh.
She was a Talk Soup.
Thought it was like a space movie or something.
I don't know. I don't find her funny at all, but she's found this niche where she's supposedly a geek. You know, and she likes Star Wars and Xbox and all this stuff, and I don't buy a moment of it.
Yeah, what?
And she's found this niche of comedy like Larry the Cable Guy. Except what? she appeals to geeks. I'd rather watch Brian Posehn than this chick.
She jumped up bait.
Whoa.
I just don't find her funny at all.
Steven, you hate her too, don't you? Aisha Taylor?
Yeah, Tyler? Yeah, I dislike her.
Yeah. Eh, can do without. Da-da-da-da-dee-da-da. What the hell is that? Snoop Dogg. Does anyone understand what the hell he's talking about?
Don't care.
He's so high, he has no idea what he's talking about.
Butt ass naked, literally.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Breaking Bad, the complete first season, the A&E show with Bryan Cranston.
Heard it's a fantastic show. Have not seen it yet.
Nope, haven't seen a minute of
we've
it.
We've had listeners tell us to watch it. Is it on Blu-ray? HD Blu-ray?
No, it's not on Blu-ray.
It should be. If AMC does Mad Men, too, and they released that on Blu-ray, they should do Breaking Bad. And you know what?
I'm sure eventually.
On DirecTV, Video On Demand, they have all the Breaking Bad episodes for the first season. I don't know if there's been a second season, but maybe I'll watch it like that.
Yeah, I think the second season's starting up here shortly, or just did. I'm not sure. Man, this week is really, really terrible for DVDs. it's slim pickings for sure. Next DVD is Extreme Movie.
Whoa, to the extreme! It's a movie.
Raging Piranha.
You know what's funny is this one has Michael Cera in it, So it just shows that he'll do anything for money. But he won't do an Arrested Development movie.
I heard he's in. He's going to do it.
So this has Michael Cera and that kid, that Ryan Pinkston, who looks like a little kid, but he's actually like 30. He would ask stupid questions on the red carpet on that punk show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that kid gets on my nerves.
Yeah, and oh man, the duo of irritation, Matthew Lillard and Jamie Kennedy.
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Can it get any worse?
Oh.
No.
Douchebag Sarah duo. Killer,
the Jamie Kennedy experiment.
Ugh. Can you just go and also shut the cool?
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather listen to that for an hour.
Next DVDs are on Blu-ray, French Connection, and for some reason, The French Connection 2.
Nice.
I just ignore that French Connection 2 exists.
We got a situation here.
And also on Blu-ray and DVD, Futurama Into the Wild Green Yonder.
Sweet. Did you ever see the last straight-to-DVD?
Yeah, Bender's Break.
And you know they stole our land squid, didn't you?
They did.
They did?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Land squid is in it. They used the term land squid.
What the hell?
Honestly, I think somebody from Futurama listens to the show and rips us off.
This is bullshit.
Matt Groening.
Wow.
Yeah.
He used to steal from me and Jason back.
Dude, throw us in a writer's room think tank or something and pay us, okay? Dude, the hell.
When I saw that, I was just like...
We should sue for intellectual property.
Land squid. You stole a land squid!
That's how we get our money.
I still think that Paul Blart Mall Cop is a ripoff of The Custodian.
It totally is. They totally ripped us off there, too.
He's got doo-doo and chocolate over his hands.
He's got doo-doo and chocolate. Why is the word doo-doo so funny to me still? I don't know. I'm an adult. No, I'm not. All right, but what other fantastic DVDs are coming out this week?
I know, man. God, this is terrible. I wanted to mention this because we talked about the Hudson Brothers not long ago. And the Hudson Brothers Razzle Dazzle Show, the complete series, the 70s sketch show.
Oh, yeah, they did that. Oh, shit, I can't even remember. I put one of their clips in our intro about the zombies.
Yeah.
The zombies are transfixed by singing and dancing. What was that movie called?
Shit.
It was called Fudge Monkeys. I can't remember. So what is this movie called? This one? I'm going to remember in a minute after we pass.
This is just their TV show, the Hudson Brothers Razzle Dazzle Show.
I don't know what the hell it is. They're not really funny or something.
No, they're not.
They did this movie that I remember from childhood where they did a spoof on horror films, like all of them, Friday the 13th, all of them, uh-huh. Night of the Living Dead, they had zombies, and they're in this small town where all this bad stuff was happening, and it was spoofed.
Hysterical.
Oh, yeah, it's called Hysterical. And it's not particularly hysterical, but based on the fact that I thought it was funny as a kid, I want to watch it again. But just the YouTube stuff I saw, I was like, God, this is bad.
Why am I watching this?
But my favorite part of the whole movie is there's a part in a library, and there's a black librarian, and it's played by this comedian. I can't remember his name. But everybody else is white there, and he goes, "It is now 10:30. All white people must leave." And he keeps saying, "All white people must leave." And they're all like, "Oh, we got to go." And it's run by a black guy. That was funny to me as like a 10-year-old. Oh, that's hilarious.
That's so funny. All right. Next DVD is Noah Wiley and The Librarian, The Curse of the Judas Chalice.
Red alert. Red alert.
Whoa. Red alert. I got a red alert this week.
you know why I got a red alert? Because it was actually better than Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal.
It was.
Wow.
Straight to... It was made for TV, TNT movie, but still. You know, check it out. I mean, you're not going to be guaranteed that it'll be good, but you never know.
Except
but it's
no
better than
no
Kingdom of the
Crystal. You're on your own.
this movie doesn't have to go to the places between places.
Or spaces between spaces.
It's a space between spaces. Wait a second. They're talking about Fringe, aren't they? Hmm.
It's all in the pattern, indie.
Wow, they're not even that clever. I don't want to talk about that movie ever again.
No, I'll never forget. I saw it and I told you, dude, this is bad. It's really bad. You're like, can't be that bad.
I honestly, Harrison Ford, Steven Spielberg, they're doing a new Indiana Jones. It's like a no-brainer that it'll be just fun, hilarity, it'd be awesome. Some people talk themselves into that. They were wrong. They lied to themselves and said, yes, I enjoyed this. It was great. They're wrong. I guarantee you now, they're like, I didn't like it. And I can't tell anyone. I didn't really like it.
I told them I liked it back then.
Yes, but I'm telling you, God, bad.
Not bad.
Exactly.
It was. It really was embarrassingly terrible. Painful.
Ugh.
I know, it's disgusting, right?
Exactly.
All right, moving on. I have no idea what this movie is. Maybe on I haven't seen it advertised on HDNet, but it's a Magnolia film called What Just Happened with Robert De Niro.
Right, I've seen the commercials for that. It looks interesting.
I have no idea what it's about.
It looks like some crazy stuff is going on in a movie set, like Bruce Willis is being a prima donna or something.
Okay, well, it's directed by Barry Levinson. So,
oh, I like Barry Levinson. You know what I recorded just last night? It came on MGM HD. Rain Man.
What's that? Oh, really? Damn it!
Rain Man in HD.
I always forget to check MGM HD because they always just play the same shit for a month.
Oh, I know. Yeah. You know what? There's one night. You know the horrible Wes Craven movie called The Last House on the Left.
Oh my God, yeah.
There was one night I was real sleepy. I was like, Heather, what are you doing? It's time to go to bed. And she's like, I'm just going to watch this movie first. And I was like, what is it? She's like, Last House on the Left. I was like, you don't want to watch this movie.
You do not watch that before you go to sleep.
And I was like, I'm warning you. This is like one of the most disturbing movies you could ever see, but I'm going to bed. The next day, she's like, I shouldn't have watched that movie. I was like, I told you, this movie got banned in some places, I think. There were people, like, vomiting in the seats or something.
Yeah.
Wow, disturbing.
They fornicated, had intercourse, sex.
Okay, we got it.
Yeah, it's not, no, that's...
No, they raped people.
It's horrible. I can't believe she watched it.
Yeah, and then they decided to remake it. Penis?
Good Lord.
F***ing sausage.
Okay, well, let's move on. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, nice. Next Monday at 9 p.m., Rain Man's on MGM HD again. Totally recording.
Charlie Babbitt.
Best part ever. Watch fart. Did you fart, Ray? Fart. Did you effing fart, Ray?
Watching Wapner. Definitely Wapner.
All right, moving on. Actually, that's it. That's all the DVDs for this week.
What? No!
I told you. The one I skipped over that I figured, no one's going to watch it is Sex Drive.
Sex Drive? What's that?
It's some teen comedy with Seth Green and a bunch of other assholes.
No Seth Green.
Wait a second. Yeah. Is it about a kid who steals his brother's car to meet some chick online or something like that?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Because that movie looked funny.
That's the one where Seth Green is a Amish guy.
Yeah, it says, Ian has a decision to make, stay home and stay a virgin, or drive 800 miles to lose it with an online hottie. Decision made. Ian and his horn dog buddy Lance are off on a sex safari with their best friend forever baggage Felicia in tow. Epic Quest features a stolen GTO, a kinky trailer park sex, a prison fight, topless abstinence extreme dancers, a smart-ass Amish super mechanic and his drunken boob-flashing friends, a gun-wielding Mexican donut, and Ian's D-bag brother, played by James Marsden in Hot Pursuit.
Got doo-doo and chocolate over his hands!
I gotta tell you, this movie looked funny to me, man. I'm gonna check it out.
I see Seth Green and I automatically go, no.
Yeah, but he's in one scene, I think. I think he's barely in it. And the kid who is like the star of this movie looks just like Kevin Rose. Have you ever seen him?
Yeah. You know what's funny is he's also on Kyle XY, which I embarrassingly watch every week.
Nice. I watched this show with my daughter called Aaron Stone on one of the Disney channels. It's this kid who plays this video game, Bill, and it turns out the video game is real. And
so it's like Captain N, the Game Master?
It's kind of like
into video land.
It's kind of like this. You play Xbox, like you play Halo, and you're the best in the world at Halo. All of a sudden, this dude who's an android shows up at your house, and he's like, "We need you because it's real." And that's basically.
Wait a second.
It's the last Starfighter.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. And it's pretty innocent because it's a kid show on Disney Channel, but I think it's a lot of fun. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, February 27th, 7 p.m., Tank Girl, MGM HD. I'm going through the schedule.
Tank Girl, it's kind of thing like, you know, saw in the theater, but it's not a really good movie, is it?
No, it's god-awful, but hey, I'll watch it. I mean, Ice-T as a dog? Come on.
Peace.
How dare you say the last Starfighter was cheesy? It's epic.
Yeah, no, he's a kangaroo. Booga, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a
Peter Berg is in that too, isn't
he?
Peter Berg is also a kangaroo. You know, why isn't Snoop Dogg in that? The hell yeah,
because of that. Because they couldn't stand that.
It's like you're not allowed on our set. No one knows what the hell you're saying, son of a bitch. I got nothing.
Part of the jungle.
All right, Bill, that's the DVDs?
That's it.
Well, thank you, sir. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
Thank you.
Can you just go and also set the goal?
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
God. All right, everybody, that was episode 154 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for joining us tonight live at nowlive.com. That's right, nowlive.com. And you know what, Bill? I've talked about it, I've debated it, and next week I'm going to, if I get it in, get a webcam going and probably be up there kind of elevated, Stephen, down on us. How would that be? Be awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe facing the TV. I don't know. Yeah, something like
that. It's like I told you today, I was going to get a webcam from Best Buy. I have $35 off of stuff. And then I walked into the bathroom, saw my fat ass in the mirror, and went, no.
I think sometimes I think if you just show the environment, like us doing the show, you don't have to see my face right in the camera or anything, but just a far away elevated shot might be kind of cool, you know? To see what we're doing? What do you think, Steve?
Very artistic.
What? I mean, there's nothing really to see, but it might be
interesting. That's what I'm saying. It's.
I guess we got no webcams going tonight in the thing, right?
No, there's nobody with a webcam tonight.
No Fray Not.
I think he feels bad because he screwed up the show.
No, he didn't. We were just teasing him.
We're just teasing him.
Come on. Fray Not, it's okay. There's no guarantees in life, you know?
Except there ain't nothing free, because there's no guarantees, you know? You're on your own.
Ooh, that's what my favorite part is, the ooh.
Part of the jungle.
That's the best.
I love that. Unemployed person. You know what? I never got the lines on the screen the whole show. We made it, Bill. It's awesome.
Nice.
Awesome. It'll happen as soon as the show's over, I bet. But hopefully I get the video card in tomorrow so I can put it in. Be awesome.
Yay.
Is it coming normal mail?
UPS, I believe.
They don't deliver on Saturday.
Aw, shit. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Oh, fudge monkey. Ugh. So maybe I'll get it on Monday. Hey, as long as I put it in before next week's show, that's all I care about, you know? Right?
Guess you should have stuck to that 3-day delivery.
I know! 3 to 7 days. Christ.
It mattered.
They're playing some kind of game, and we are just the pieces.
I agree, Desmond. They're all just playing with us. playing with her willies. You know what I mean?
Hey,
he molested that poor thing. People have gone to jail for worse.
He molested that poor thing. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the show. It was awesome. We love talking about all these shows. Totally tripendicular.
Tripendicular.
Yeah, I've pretty much got nothing now because we did a long show and it was a lot of fun and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying, Steven?
Yep.
Faux shizzle, Steven. Up in the
Don't
hizzle.
Play that clip again. If you do, I'll kick your ass.
Which one?
Don't.
Foggy, don't yes, play it, okay?
I'm waiting for it.
What's up? My name's P. Hilbert.
Red alert. Red alert.
Yes, red the red alert. Alert will go off at any time if that clip is attempted to be played, okay? But this clip will be played, Bill.
Got doo-doo and chocolate over his hands.
Got doo-doo and chocolate all over his hands.
The show's filled with F-bombs, but for some reason he chose to say doo-doo.
Oh, there's a part, the beginning, where he's talking about it showing his career as he went to different teams and they got rid of him. Each time they show him throw the fastball and it's significantly a lower miles per hour, you know? Everything he says is just completely offensive to where he's at. He just says everything wrong. And that's why it's funny. It's awesome. Right, Steven?
Yes. Feel good hit of the year.
And look at this shit.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll see you next week. Right, Bill?
Yes, oh, I think.
Steven, you had an important announcement. What was it?
I have something important. Oh, and back to you, Jason.
Oh, thank you, Steven.
So, please leave a key under the mat. I love y'all very much. Peace out.
Except there ain't nothing free, because there's no guarantees, you know? You're on your own. Part of the jungle.